to live just sitting funny.
You're listening to Morning Sedition, presented by AirAmericaPlace.com. If you enjoy these downloads, please consider making a small donation. Even a $1 monthly donation will go a long way to keep our web service free from advertising. Click Donate on the Air America Place homepage to find out how.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Oh, yeah, it's Thursday morning, Mark Riley. Thursday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday morning, we're over the hump. Yesterday, we were both hitting the wall, but today I feel all jazzed and juiced. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, victims of all kinds, haters, and, of course, Mom. Good morning, Mom in Florida. How are you? Yay, Hollywood, Florida. Some weird stuff went down in Hollywood, Florida last night.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I didn't ask my mother about it. I got a caller today. I wonder if it was near her house, but we'll talk about that. Let's not touch that story just yet. Let's save it. Yesterday, hey, can we turn this TV off in the studio, please, Tim? Thanks. No distractions today. Today it's all about focus. Look, there's Kent Jones in the other studio. He's making some funny for later.
Uh-oh. Yeah,
and then we've got, Smarty Pants Larson in the booth. He has the controls. Brendan, who is still engaged, is also working with Kent Jones on the funny. Tim, feeling a little more comfortable. Only screwed up, four times yesterday, but did a very good job other than that.
You're counting?
He didn't. He's taking it personally. Look at that. He's one of those guys. He's like, I'm not going to laugh at that. I'm not going to laugh at you making fun of me. I feel a little ashamed, Riley. I went and did another radio show for Sirius.
What?
Yeah, not a real radio show.
Security?
Oh. No, he ain't going to wake up.
I know. Man, let me tell you something. Ladies and gentlemen, in an insecure world, hire the company that works at this building.
Don't invite anything honest, you know?
Yeah, right. I got more trust in Ann, the woman security guard that works out here.
Yeah, thank God we're in a bunker because the guy downstairs. But anyways, it's not our problem. It's the building's problem. We've got our fortified, secure parameter up here. You know what? It's weird. We're actually upstairs.
Yes.
You know, and our office is downstairs. But since we started working here, this is how the Republicans do it. Okay, here's a good point. You know, when the whole idea of repetition, because, you know, when they lie, when me and you hear it, we're like, hey, they're lying.
They're lying.
They're lying. Why do they keep saying that? What's wrong with people? They're lying. They're lying. But it's all about framing and context. And the more they repeat something, the more people it plants in their head. Because
on the first day, he said, let there be light. And there was. And it was good.
Damn.
On the second came the separation of the waters, and land, and birds, and sea creatures, and then man. And it was good. And then, on the seventh day, he created 16 channels of rock.
Rock.
And it was awesome! Summer rock!
On Sirius, bingo.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. Explain how your trek up Mount Everest changed your views about what's important in life and how to focus on getting what you really want.
We watched two guys die, and as we tried to understand why they had died, it became apparent in the first case that one of them had died because he hadn't figured out that his skills were no match for a mountain as big as Everest. He either didn't figure out what his skills were, or he didn't take the time to match them with the climb. And that kind of stuck in our heads as a little bit as a learning we should understand. The second guy died because his values didn't match the needs of Mount Everest. He went on alone. And you can't climb Everest alone. I mean, you get winds of 150 miles an hour. You get temperatures of, you know, minus 60 below. It's impossible to do alone. He went on independently, and he eventually died. So his values didn't match up with the needs of Everest.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
There's a resort called Give Kids the World, where children with life-threatening illnesses can fill their week with pure joy. Kids and their families indulge in simple pleasures like swimming, visiting local Orlando theme parks, and eating unlimited ice cream, all for free. Call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org and help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
A white guy, a black guy, a woman, and then a, you know, a sort of shifting minority card or whatever, okay. where the fourth one.
Someone who's androgynous.
They're just, yeah, they leave room for Latin Americans or Asian.
Pacific Islanders.
But man, I'll tell you, you know, I do this show in the morning and you can cuss on that show and be dirty just be nasty. And it was like an alter ego, Riley. I was filthy. I was mean, you know, and I just like, it was really weird. We had a great time. I wasn't mean in a bad way.
You were ragging on everybody. Tim?
Yeah,
get the dump ready, okay? Just in case.
No, but it was almost like, you know, like, wow, I can say that, and I'm on radio, and I was just like really nasty, and I'm like, this is my alter ego. I'm gonna have to create an alter ego, like a comic book character that's completely antithetical to like who I am here. You know, like a wrestler. I'm gonna go out in a mask and just be nasty and mean and cuss and politically incorrect and just, you know. I don't mind being a little politically incorrect. Anyway, you know that about
us here. I'll bring my Mankind doll in that Mick Foley gave me so you can kind of, like, take a look and model yourself after. Because that was a classic wrestling character.
It's an action figure, Mark Riley. Didn't he clear that up for you? It's an action figure.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's still not a doll. It's a stinking doll, all right, Mick? I love you, but it's a doll. What are you going to do?
I wonder if he's going to come back. You think he's going to come back?
I think he is, because I think he had a good time.
So we got some interesting guests in the next few hours. We got Jamie Moran. Moran, who is, he's an anarchist. He's going to, you know, flesh out a little bit. He's apparently a little worked up about how anarchists are misrepresented.
In the media,
but also among other anarchists. I imagine this is an ongoing fight within the anarchist community about what a real anarchist is.
Yeah.
You know, one of the stories we talked about on that show I did yesterday was that there was an anarchist convention and they were going to have a vote about something, and some of the anarchists were like, we can't have a vote. There was a small, you know, group that pulled away from the anarchist collective, and I'm curious to talk about him because I think that we all have our own idea of what anarchism is.
Is he coming in here? Is he coming in studio?
No, he doesn't believe in structure.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Because he probably won't sign the thing downstairs. So he'll never get up here.
He doesn't believe in buildings. He thinks that they're dogmatic. But that's just the man's, you know, that's what's been decided upon is shelter. I mean, what shelter really is something that happens, you know, organically. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm creating it. All structures are dogmatic, including buildings.
I hope he's not a big guy, this Jamie Moran. I hope he isn't coming up. No, but, you know, we can find out a little bit about anarchy and what they got planned for the Republican convention, because I want to stay away from it.
Yeah, because it was interesting. Steve Earle yesterday, as he was walking out, we didn't even talk about it on the air. He's like, yeah, I've been talking to some people, some stuff's going to go down, there's going to be some singing. I'm like, whoa, dude. But there is this conversation, like an old cat I used to know up in Boston, Robin Horton, he had written an email to the show, actually, and he's an old protester from way back. He's been doing it for 30 years since the late 60s, mm-hmm. And there's a large group of these guys who, like, consider themselves wise old protesters. They know how to do it. They know how to do civil obedience in a way that is going to, you know, evoke free speech but not evoke violence. And there's, like, within the protest community, there's obviously a lot of factions going on. You know what I mean? There's a lot of, like, you know, the old cats are like, we can do this and do it in a way that, you know, is not going to disrupt and make us look bad. You know, it's very hard for protesters not to look bad, though, because it's very not in a negative way. I'm not saying that negatively, but every time they capture them on TV, they're always going to go for the most, you know, fringe looking or most violent behavior. They're going to try and characterize protesters as being just out of control hippie freaks.
Well, see, I think that the protests kind of reached a watershed up in Seattle a few years ago.
Yeah.
Where you had, because I saw sort of a generational change from the kind of people that you were just talking about to this current modern group of young people A, for whom property damage is no big thing. Now, if,
but that's,
you know,
part of that particular agenda. That's what we can talk to the anarchists about, that there is an anti-globalization agenda. Then there's also a sort of pro-democracy agenda, which I think is very different. That the idea of exercising free speech, of engaging in civil disobedience to activate the democratic process is a little different than the anti-globalization message.
It's very different, but the anti-globalization message got crystallized in Seattle. That's when everybody noticed the anti-globalization thing.
Right.
And you know, you're right. There is going to be, as this convention gets closer and we get into it, there's going to be some clashes between these two kind of protest schools of thought. It's going to be very, very interesting to see which one holds the day.
And also, like, we've got a piece here that I'd like to talk about a little more when we get back to protests later in the show. We're also going to have Ted Rall, who's going to be on
Cartooning.
Yeah, he does that great. What's the name of the book, John? What's the name of the book? Oh man! But he's an editorial cartoonist and columnist, and he's got a couple of books out. I can't, I don't know why I don't have it in front of me. I apologize, but I will.
We'll get it. We got it.
Yeah. Wake up, you're a liberal.
Wake up, you're a liberal. That's it. I remember seeing that earlier this
week. But he's going to be on the show later, and also I want to talk about these FBI tactics, because it's an interesting thing. This guy, Bob Barr, who is a conservative.
A conservative former congressman from Georgia, led the impeachment fight against Bill Clinton.
Fiscal conservative, old school conservative, not fanatical right-wing conservative per se, but a guy that believes in the idea that the government should not impose on us or you know, get into our worlds,
impede free speech.
What's the word I'm looking for, though, when the government does
intrude,
right? And he wrote a piece about the new FBI tactics, you know, around the protests, which I think is interesting. But we'll get that to that a little later. What's coming up right away is the sort of heroic return of Sistani to Iraq.
Sistani is back in Iraq, and you know, you can draw a line between the protests here and what's going on. They got convoys of people coming out from all over the road between Basra and Najaf, coming out to join Sistani in this rally.
Right. Get your war on. Isn't that the name of it? Isn't that Ted Rall's book?
No, that's another, I don't know.
That's another cartoonist. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm all confused. Come on, wake up, Aaron. At least I'm not confused about facts that are dealing with the story. It's just about exactly which cartoonist we're having on, which is, you know, natural. But the Sistani, he's rolling into town. He's got a cavalcade. Is it a cavalcade or a
convoy?
A convoy of SUVs, a huge posse. And, you know, he's gonna go down and talk to the upstart al-Sadr. So that'll be back with Terror Watch. So stay tuned here on Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at a distance or for reading. Customized laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, Director of the Cornea Service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at a distance, and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan-driven and no-touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2000. 2020. That's 212-746-2020. Or visit us at www.cornelllaservision.com.
Ready or not, the Republicans are coming to town. Prepare yourself with Time Out New York, this week featuring a survival guide to the Republican National Convention. Of course, our guide is not just a run-of-the-mill convention overview. We give you a look at the whole shindig from perspectives you won't find anywhere else. Looking for something to do in the city that never sleeps? Look no further than Time Out New York. On sale at newsstands now, the Time Out New York Republican National Convention Survival Guide. Get your copy today. You can thank us later.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
21 past the hour. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. I'm up. I'm waiting. There's nothing. What's wrong with these guys? What are the names? Mark? Is it Mark? Anyways, let's talk about the issues. Sistani's back. He's back. He rolls into town with a big posse. And Al-Sadr's got blood dripping off his butt cheek from the multiple wounds he's taken in the cootie.
Uh-huh. Several shrapnel wounds, apparently.
Yeah. And what's going on, Mark Riley? Because we talked about the politics of this. And Sistani, he gets a little angioplasty. He's out in London. He gets his pipes cleaned.
His pipes cleaned.
He's feeling strong.
Not the literal pipes.
Yeah, no. He's feeling strong. He comes back, and Al-Sadr is taking all these hits. It seems like Al-Sadr, the way they're characterizing it, is that he's sort of at the end of his rope.
That's how they're characterizing it, but Mark, I'm not exactly sure if all the characterizations that we're getting here are correct characterizations. Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
There's a situation where there was a mortar attack on a mosque in Kufa, which is, of course, near Najaf, which is where Sistani's on his way to.
Mm-hmm.
The reports that we're seeing, all the reports that we see, say they have no idea who launched these mortars.
Right.
That hit it. Killed 25 people, by the way.
Yeah, it's bad.
I think they know.
Yeah.
All right? It's just my gut tells me, and this is speculation.
We can do that.
Yeah.
We're radio hosts.
Yeah, we're radio hosts. I think they know who did it.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're reporting who
did it. I thought you were going to say who did it.
Well, I have my suspicions, but I won't go that far.
Okay.
I just think they know, but they're not saying.
Okay.
And that's why we're reading all these. Well, nobody knows. I think Sistani knows.
Yes.
I think Sistani believes that he can now step into this breach. He comes straight from London, stops overnight in Basra, heads straight for Najaf, which is the equivalent of, you know, people running toward a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Najaf is where all the violence in the country, at least according to the reports we get, that's where it's all going on, right?
And this is being presented as a peace march, correct?
He has a peace initiative.
Right.
Sistani's is a very, very canny, clever man. What Sistani is saying is, look, I have the way to peace out of all of this. His situation and what he's calling for is that Najaf and Kufa be declared weapons-free cities. In other words, everybody who's got guns in these two cities, lay them down. All right?
Everybody. Iraqis, Americans.
Iraqis, Americans. He wants the Americans, all foreign troops, out of Najaf.
Because it's a holy city.
Because this is how he believes you can bring peace to Najaf, Kufa, and to a larger extent to all of Iraq.
And the condition is, I'm in charge.
Not necessarily, but you know what he is saying, and this is what's going to get him the style points inside Iraq.
Okay.
He wants this new Iraqi government, Alawi's government, to compensate the victims of violence in Najaf.
Right.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
That is a groundbreaking proposal because it speaks to people's pain. There are a lot of people who've been 8-year-old kid was just hit by one of these bombs, killed. You can't compensate a family with money, but in a situation like that, for somebody to say, you know what, we are looking out not for the Americans, not for the, you know, for the radical insurgent clerics. We're looking out for the people who are the victims of this. This is going to make Sistani even more popular.
So kind of what you're saying is that he let al-Sadr do this, you know, populist dirty work. That, you know, rally them in a sort of angered way, you know, that means, like, we're standing up in a revolutionary way, and now Sistani comes in and says, okay, you know, you cut a nice little, chunk of territory for us here, you've got the people all worked up, now I want to say, look, let's make some negotiations with this government so we can own this piece of property.
But see, here's the contradiction from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You have al-Sadr, who has done some things that would seem to indicate he's willing to negotiate, okay?
Yeah.
He frees through his efforts, he frees his journalists. He talked about the possibility of sitting down and talking with the Americans that are encircling, you know, his Mehdi army. Yet the violence continues, right? I think what you're going to see over time is some kind of shaky, fragile alliance between al-Sadr and al-Sistani. Remember, they're both Shiites, they're both Iraqis, okay? They're both holy men, or at least, al-Sadr is a cleric.
Yeah.
Sistani is a grand Ayatollah.
Right.
You're talking about religious, you know, important religious figures in the Shia community. I think they can find enough common ground to sit down and say, and you pointed this out just now,
yeah,
to say, okay, we are going to establish, through getting peace in these very violent areas, we are going to establish the framework for the kind of government we think ought to be running Iraq. Because they still see Alawi and this whole infrastructure that's been created as something of an American tool. The Americans did this.
And also, it seems to me that one of the things that we're hiding, and that certainly that the Bush campaign is not talking about, I mean, these are the issues, is that the American presence in Iraq, this could really turn into a fairly, you know, straight-ahead civil war, it seems like. Is that possible?
It is entirely possible, because remember that the Sunnis, who were the folks that were in charge under Saddam, really have not been heard from in all this. And they don't, you know, they're not going to necessarily look at any consolidation of power among the two most prominent Shiites in the country with any degree of, security. They're not going to think things are going to turn out great if al-Sadr and Sistani can find some common ground here. And I think that may be what Sistani's end game is here, to come in as the knight in shining armor, to bring peace to the region, to sit down, negotiate a deal with al-Sadr, and then force the Americans to deal with him as opposed to dealing with Alawi.
So you're saying on some level, Alawi, you know, should be scared because, you know, but of course the Americans aren't going to let this turn into a theocracy. They're not going to let it turn into a theocracy,
but again, the beginning is compensate the victims. You know what's going to be next?
What?
Get Iraqis jobs.
Yeah.
Watch and see if that's not part of Sistani's agenda here. To say, look, you're giving away all these contracts and all of these foreign people are coming in to do this work, and we've got Iraqis that are capable of doing the work, and they're not getting it.
And this is something that George Bush can't do here. And finally, you know, I mean, not finally, but, you know, Kerry comes out against Bush, speaking about Iraq on the Abu Ghraib stuff. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That and the president's Palm Pilot, the liberal agenda, and so much more. Here for you on Air America Radio.
Have you written a book? Become a published author with Dorrance Publishing Company, the nation's oldest subsidy book publisher. For a free 32-page guidebook on how to have your manuscript published by a reliable subsidy publisher, phone 1-800-695-9599. Dorrance's free informative guidebook describes the subsidy publishing process and how Dorrance can publish your book in both a traditional format and as an ebook available for download via the internet. Becoming a published author can be a unique, personally rewarding experience. Receive your free author's guide today by calling 1-800-695-9599. It contains a detailed and straightforward explanation of how Dorrance works with authors who have written manuscripts of fiction, nonfiction, poetry, and children's stories. Call 1-800-695-9599 to receive your free author's guide. It's a free call, so dial 1-800, then 695-9599.
Liverpool.
For the first time in history,
ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Around the globe.
But ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles have now taken over the world.
And across the universe. 40 years later, they still rock our world. Celebrating the Beatles. Classic vinyl.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with another Car Clinic Minute. Eat here and get gas was the slogan for many greasy spoons in the past. But today, the food that feeds your tummy could also fuel your car. When I come back, we'll fill her up with a Blue Plate Special.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at great stores like Pep Boys, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
Next time you grab a burger at the local Greasy Spoon, don't forget to pick up a side of canola, because aftermarket engineers have designed a diesel fueling system that runs on cooking oil. Here's how it works. The car is started with diesel fuel, which in turn heats an oil reserve. Once the oil's up to temperature, the driver flips a switch and converts her car into the kind of lean, mean grilling machine that George Foreman only dreams of. And since many restaurants must pay for oil disposal, drivers could get it to go for free. Order up. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas? You'll love us.
Brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, the performance oil that outperforms.
Sinus pain. My Claritin just doesn't have it.
My Benadryl doesn't have it either.
Even my prescription allergy medicines don't have it.
Only Advil Allergy Sinus has it. It's the first and only allergy medicine with the pain-relieving power of Advil. So you get allergy relief plus advanced medicine for sinus pain. That's two-way relief.
Now I know what all the others are missing. Advil for my sinus pain.
Advil Allergy Sinus. Don't just stop allergies that hurt.
The Maturity Report.
I really would say in Rumsfeld's case, in the Bush administration's case, where there's smoke, there is indeed fire. Or let's have another analogy. Where there's smoothies, there will be rats. Right, Sam? Yes.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
And may I add that there's probably a good chance of there being a muffin there as well.
Larger muffins, the size of a baby's head, if you will. Large muffin tops. There will be women with eating disorders.
The Maturity Report on Air America Radio.
That's right, 33 past the hour. Wake up if you're waking up, or welcome if you've been up. Mark Maron here, Mark Riley there.
Hi.
Tim on the board, Brendan, Dan Pashman, Son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman in the other room sorting through the news. Go to Pashman's Picks on morningsedition.com if you want to look around, if you want to blog.
Yo,
blog. We got Smarty Pants Larson at the controls in the booth. We are in orbit.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, before we go any further, we just want to let you know Marin has decided today is a blog-free Thursday, right?
Oh, now you're going to alienate the three people that are...
No, I'm not.
I have to detach from the blog during the break so I can, you know, keep my head in the show, because I kind of blog bitched the last couple of days, and it's not going to happen, but I'm glad you guys are percolating out there. Hope everything's okay. I know there was some trouble on the blog yesterday. There was some social uprising going on. There were some anarchists
around.
Well,
do some more. Morningsedition.com.
Yeah.
Do some more.
Yeah.
Sedition.
Yeah. Do whatever you need to do out there. Just, I can't be involved with it today. Here today from Ramon out there at the, he was at the ranch in Texas. I guess now he's in the cargo, area of the, Air Force One. Here's the president's schedule for today. 8 o'clock. Wake up. Take off cowboy hat. Put on I like people. I'm a moderate hat. 9.05 a.m. at 10 Rally, New Mexico State University, Las Cruces, New Mexico. Note, promise to make it easier for everyone to immigrate from New Mexico into the United States. 12.30 p.m., speak at Rally, Farmington, New Mexico. Check with staff to make sure this place is actually on the map. 2.50 p.m., speak at Albuquerque, New Mexico, home of known agitator Mark Maron. Have FBI call his father in for questioning. 4.10 p.m., before leaving New Mexico, ask campaign manager to show me where they film the Roadrunner cartoons. 9.55 p.m., arrive back in Washington, wrap up Project Swiftboat, initiate Project John Edwards, South Beach Rent Boy. 10.30 p.m., idea for convention. Call Lynyrd Skynyrd about their performance. To court the swing states, ask if they could change Sweet Home Alabama to Sweet Home Ohio. They're not going to play that old CSNY song, Ohio. Poor Dead in Ohio. How about that one? 11 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thoughts. Headline, quote, it's all true. Kerry never went to Vietnam. He spent the war in Martha's Vineyard. End quote. There you go. How do you like them apples? Now, sort of a sad story here, but, you know, an honest explosion of anger over the war in Iraq in a way that was very personal and very different than the type of protest that one's familiar with. Apparently, a distraught father in Hollywood, Florida, where my mother lives, had just been told that his Marine son was killed in Iraq, and he set fire to a Marine Corps van and set himself on fire in the process. That's some heavy stuff, man. And apparently, the people that know this guy just said he went ballistic, he went nuts, he was overwhelmed with emotion and grief, and just like, you know, just said, that's it.
And well, you know what else he did?
Yeah.
He blamed the government. He blamed the government for his son's death.
That would come in the form of setting the Marine Corps van on fire, not just his neighbor's boat or something.
Three Marines actually went to this house in Hollywood, Florida, tell the father and stepmother of Private First Class Alexander Arredondo that he had been killed Tuesday in Najaf, as a matter of fact. And the father, Carlos Arredondo, walked into the garage, picked up a can of gasoline, a propane tank, a lighting device, smashed the van's window, doused the van with gasoline, and set it on fire.
And these guys, I guess, were just standing there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guys that came, the Marines, they came to make the announcement, I guess? It's not clear. Is it clear in the article? Because I'm wondering what they were doing. While he just went and did this, did they just let him do it and say, let it get him out of his system?
Maybe they didn't realize at first what he's doing, although propane and gasoline, kind of, you might think, hey, you know, he's getting ready to do something. But they obviously tried to douse the flames once they realized he was on fire.
Right.
Must
have all happened pretty quickly.
Yeah, I guess it must have all
I'm speculating. We probably can get some truth around it. They were probably in the house, and he said, excuse me, and went out, I bet. I bet that's what happened.
Well, Alexander Arredondo's grandmother is quoted as saying she feels the government's at fault for this young man's death. I quote, I blame them a lot. They send them like guinea pigs over there.
Well, exactly. And this is a government that never served themselves. And, you know, we're looking to get a guy in there that understands what it is to be a soldier and be on both sides of that thing. Because if you look at the rundown of who's involved in this administration in terms of military service outside of the actual, you know, Pentagon area of the administration, I mean, you got people, George Bush, he served in the Texas Air National Guard and was AWOL for a few months, perhaps strung out on blow. All right, Dick Cheney.
Perhaps.
Dick Cheney, military service, none. 4 student deferments, actually probably got his wife pregnant in order to avoid military service. Bill Frist, dough-faced Bill Frist. The only guy I know that's not fat and still has doughy, jowly face. You know what I mean? Not that that's an intelligent criticism of the guy, but when I look at him, I feel like, you know, I just hate him. Military service, zero. How about fat boy Hastert? What about him, Mark Riley? Any military service there?
No. This was by the list is in the Village Voice, compiled by my main man, Tom Robbins. I was on New York One with him last week, as a matter of fact. And Dennis Hastert was rejected from advanced ROTC at Wheaton College because he had a bad shoulder from a sports injury. He, of course, was the wrestling guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was the wrestling coach.
He was the wrestling guy.
How about Karl Rove? This guy, if there, you know, and believe me, I'm an agnostic, bordering on atheistic person. If there is a hell, Karl Rove is going to be, you know, he is going to, I think his sentence will be, he will be slowly sodomized by Hitler for eternity.
You know, he was born on Christmas Day, this guy?
Yeah. What?
He was born on Christmas Day, 1950.
What a strange gift. I'm sure his parents are like, wow, why is he red?
Yeah. Why is there fire coming out of his nose?
Or as they said in Rosemary's Babies, what's wrong with his eyes?
He had a student deferment.
Yeah.
He didn't get a degree from either the University of Utah or George Mason University, but he still managed to get a student deferment.
Yeah.
John Ashcroft,
yes.
Attorney General, lawman, military service, none.
That guy, you would think out of all of them, would have something to fall back on. Nothing. You know, we gotta get out of here. Let's come back and listen to what a real veteran and a guy who has been there and been on both sides of this had to say about the torture at Abu Ghraib. We'll hear from John Kerry in just a minute on Air America Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog too.
For too long, I've been working for the man, doing what the man says, taking it like a man. The man says, I can only hear one football game on the weekend, and the man tells me what game it's going to be. Well, now it's my turn. I get to take it all back from the man, because I got the NFL on Sirius. Every game, every week, everywhere. Sirius NFL Radio. Yeah, who's the man now?
George the Trash.
Yes, dear.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Trent Berhow is a USDA food inspector, but is speaking as a private citizen. Inspectors on the line used to have the power to shut down the line if they suspected there were a problem. You still have that power, but politically, it's not wise to use it. Is that the correct way to put it?
Yeah, that power is still there, but I mean, it's the clout that industry has over the agency. I mean, not only do they have powerful lobbying efforts in Washington from a congressional level, I mean, we have cattlemen that are serving for the USDA now.
And so if you shut down a line and they didn't agree with you at headquarters, would they discipline you?
Definitely the potential is there for that, yes. It's never happened to me, but I know of inspectors who have been disciplined for taking what the industry claimed was, you know, inappropriate control actions.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Welcome to Classes on Tape.
Okay.
Repeat the following phrase. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Son, you're so proud. And that's a great test.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
My shirt was soaked with sweat. I started to feel pins and needles in my legs. I couldn't breathe.
This is 49-year-old James Price.
Everything just went black. I remember hearing an ambulance.
James is reading from a diary.
When I woke up in the hospital, they told me I'd had a stroke.
Belonging to his 14-year-old son, Stephen, who took the drug ecstasy. Talk to your kids about the dangers of ecstasy. To learn more from the Partnership for Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
There's something important you can do to help your child develop properly starting at birth. Have your baby's hearing tested and follow up on any advice you're given. It's easy, inexpensive, and can help you protect your child's ability to learn. For more information, contact the American Speech Language Hearing Association on the web at asha.org or call 1-800-638-8255.
43 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Air America Radio, Morning Sedition. Got an email here from Gremlin. Will someone please explain to me just what is the difference between every American citizen being horrified and speaking out against the atrocities in Abu Ghraib in 2004 and John Kerry reporting the atrocities in Vietnam in 1971? Could someone explain to me how O'Neill, Nixon, Haldeman, and many others aren't the Rush Limbaughs, Hannitys, and O'Reillys of that age? Who wanted us to believe that the atrocities in that war weren't just high school pranks gone bad? Someone please explain this to me. that it's an interesting question, but there were plenty of people in the early 70s who knew about the atrocities, who were on board with the anti-war protests, who were, you know, on board with revealing that truth, and it got to a point where the administration could no longer effectively cover it, but there were still these loyalists, and O'Neill was one of them. So he was an O'Reilly, if you want to call it that, or he was a Limbaugh then, because he was hired out as a propaganda unit by the Republican administration.
Well, yeah, and they had a propaganda unit that every day reported huge numbers of, quote, enemy casualties. Every day, Mark, you really kind of had to be there. You listen to the news, and there would be a skirmish at this particular location in South Vietnam, and, you know, 5 Americans were killed, 500 Viet Cong soldiers were killed. You would have thought over the years that we had wiped out the entire population of North Vietnam, given the number of casualties that we used to hear about every day. So the net effect of that was to make most Americans think we were winning the war.
Right, yeah, they thought it was some sort of scorecard. As you'll notice, we have a president now that does not go to military funerals. We don't know the number of Iraqis we've killed. We don't have any idea even of the territories, you know, that we're dealing with Iraq. Most Americans are completely in the dark about, you know, what is really going on there in the nature of, you know, creating new terrorism, you know, complete chaos in certain areas outside of Najaf, mm-hmm. You know, and as far as, you know, the high school prank element, there was really no way once the cat was out of the bag during Vietnam, you could not say that My Lai was some sort of like, hey, it's just college kids. You know, no. There was no way to dismiss that. There is a fundamental difference between the atrocities in relation to, you know, Abu Ghraib and what, you know, what Cy Hirsch originally reported on in Vietnam, which was My Lai.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Abu Ghraib was torture. My Lai was a massacre, and as heinous as torture is, a massacre is even uglier.
But the same guys, though, the same sort of administration, the same type of ideological thinking that said that allowed Rush Limbaugh to say, come on, they're just blowing off some steam, mm-hmm. is really the same sort of rationalizations that were being made in a different way, you know, in the late 60s, and also now by these Vietnam Vets for Truth, or BS, or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. which is that essentially we were doing our duty. That was the way they dismissed it then.
Yeah, and now, of course, we're starting to get some reports back on Abu Ghraib. Two so far this week.
Yes.
I don't know how many they still got going on. But we've gotten two, and this latest one, it's a 143-page report. And it essentially says that there may be some criminal charges leveled against some of the officer corps at Abu Ghraib.
Karpinski's going to take the hit, I think.
Well, there's another guy named Pappas, uh-huh. who apparently was the military intel guy.
Thanks, Gremlin, by the way.
Huh?
I'm just thanking Gremlin for you.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Gremlin. And, you know, it's getting to a point now where people are starting to realize, yes, there was torture at Abu Ghraib. This is the first time, by the way, this report, which was done... let me make sure. Major General George Fay was the co-author of this report.
Right.
It says for the first time that U.S. forces tortured Iraqis at Abu Ghraib.
The first time they used that word.
Used the word torture. Now, swept up in this net, by the way, could be as many as 4 Army officers, 29 military intelligence soldiers, 4 MPs, and 2 medical personnel. All of these people have been referred for possible criminal charges.
Right.
The report speaks to widespread failures in the chain of command, widespread misconduct. This is not a frat house prank. No matter how people try and spin it, this was a prison completely out of control. And you're right, Karpinski, they haven't cited her in this particular report, but they'll get to her.
Yeah, but the alliance, or not the alliance, but, you know, Karpinski was running things, and you had military intelligence coming and doing everything she wanted, bullying her, mm-hmm. and, you know, and having the run of the place. And then you've got these, you know, yahoos in there who are completely on some sort of, you know, moral, you know, downslide. Something happened in there that they have to take responsibility for, you know, as high up as it can go. And I think, you know, John Kerry, you know, has his ideas of how high up it should go. We got that?
Yeah, we do.
The buck doesn't stop at the Pentagon, but in this case, it doesn't just stop with any military personnel. The Schlesinger report said specifically that Secretary Rumsfeld set the climate within which these kinds of abuses were able to take place.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously we've been saying that for a long time, you know. It's just as Al Gore...
Donald Rumsfeld ought to resign...
How dare they? You know what I mean? There's just an arc of responsibility, you know, demands to be taken there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Kerry has been very consistent, by the way, in demanding Rumsfeld's resignation. Even before Abu Ghraib, he said Rumsfeld needed to go.
Yeah, and I think he does. And we'll hear from Schlesinger after this on Air America Radio.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution. Order Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records today at www.airamericaradio.com. The Revolution Starts Now is also available at Barnes & Noble music locations.
The Revolution Starts Now.
For too long, I've been working for the man, doing what the man says, taking it like a man. The man says, I can only hear one football game on the weekend, and the man tells me what game it's going to be. Well, now it's my turn. I get to take it all back from the man, because I got the NFL on Sirius. Every game, every week, everywhere. Sirius NFL Radio. Yeah, who's the man now?
George the Trash.
Yes, dear.
Attention swimmers, get out of the water. Everybody, out of the water immediately.
Dude, what? It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We waste a lot of energy and money. Producing that energy consumes valuable resources and creates pollution. You can help by lowering your thermostat in winter and raising it in summer. Have your furnace and air conditioner serviced and cleaned. Turn your water heater down to 120 to 140 degrees. And check your refrigerator for leaky gaskets around the doors. Caulk, weather strip, and insulate walls, attics, basements, windows, doors, and pipes. These energy conservation tips are brought to you by the National Wildlife Federation.
Printer's out of paper.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, completely out.
How hard is it to refill a printer?
All you gotta do is open the tray and put the paper in.
Seriously?
Oh, look, the paper's right here on the shelf.
Unbelievable.
It's right here. People, come on.
Excuse me, I just need to
Don't bother. It's out of paper.
Well, that's okay. I'll just refill it.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful way is to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
There was sadism on the night shift at Abu Ghraib, sadism that was certainly not authorized. It was kind of Animal House on the night shift.
Get ready for the wildest comedy of the summer. It's Donald Rumsfeld's Abu Ghraib Animal House. Starring Lindy England. Charles Rayner.
You can't do that to our pleasants. Only we can do that to our pleasants.
Chip Frederick.
Now we have an old saying in Delta. Don't get mad. Get even.
And Donald Rumsfeld as Dean Wormer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
It's the slobs versus the snobs in this hilarious prison romp. Donald Rumsfeld, Abu Ghraib, Animal House. You'll laugh till it hurts.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We're going to hell.
beautiful. That's, yeah, I got to see that, huh, Riley?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Great film.
By the way, Otis Day, are you going to say it?
No, I was going to say James Schlesinger, because we were talking
about. Let me just plug Otis Day. Otis Day and the Knights will be performing here in New York City during the Republican National Convention at Crowbar, along with, who else is playing?
Charlie Daniels, I think?
I think he's on that show, but it's interesting, the type of acts, and I'm not going to judge. You know, but we've got Kix Brooks and Ronnie Dunn are going to be performing at the convention. Leon Womack. We got Christian rock band Third Day. Latin gospel singer J.C. Velasquez.
Latin gospel singer.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Here we go. We got Christian singer Gracie Rosenberger. Rock band Dexter Friebisch. Country singer Daryl Worley. And gospel singer Donnie McClurkin.
Donnie McClurkin?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to be the Brian McKnight of this year's
convention. There you go.
Oh, okay. And which night is Negro Night?
I'm not sure. It's not on the schedule as Negro Night. Because
last year it was Tuesday night.
They've expunged the schedule.
That's right. For security reasons. Now, listen, I want people to know who James Schlesinger is. James Schlesinger, of course, was the person who was quoted at the beginning of the spot we just ran.
Yeah.
James Schlesinger was the person who headed the commission that issued the first report on the Abu Ghraib prison abuses.
Okay.
He was Secretary of Defense from 1973 through 75, which means he served the end of the Nixon administration into the beginning part of the Ford years.
Okay.
I thought it might have been under Jimmy Carter, but I was wrong. It was under Nixon and Ford.
So he is a Republican.
Yeah, he is a Republican, absolutely. He was only 44 years old when he was first appointed as Secretary of Defense, which is a pretty young age, actually.
Yeah, I want to, you know, I'm just glad, you know, John Kerry is starting to stand. It's very interesting what these Republicans are trying to do to him. We have a president that says very little about anything. And, you know, and he has a certain smug. He's all full of the bully juice. And, you know, he condescends and he's shifty.
And he's on vacation 40% of the time.
You know, and he tries to turn things around, but he doesn't say anything of any substance, you know. And we've got John Kerry, who is saying things of substance. Who is saying that he wants to make changes. He's saying he's trying to address health care. He's trying to address issues like unemployment. He's trying to address issues like, you know, rebuilding our reputation in the world after this Iraq debacle. And they're trying to make him look like some guy who's playing dirty.
I know. It's
just not even there.
It's ridiculous. And see, this is that whole bizarro world thing. We've had so many people in here to talk about it. But you know what's amazing, Mark? Imagine what would happen if we weren't here 40% of the time.
Yeah.
Okay, where they were doing best of morning seditions 2 out of every 5 days of the week. That is essentially what George W. Bush has done throughout his presidency.
Unreal.
He has been either in Crawford, I guess maybe he wants people to believe he's doing homework while he's there, but 40% of the time he's not working.
Yeah, I just hope a lot of people in this country realize this isn't some sort of sporting event. I mean,
no.
This is the future of the planet, and I'm not trying to be heavy-handed. Oh, thank God. There's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here we go. Get your notebooks and pencils. One, during the convention, change name to Statue of Endangered Liberties. 2, Photoshop Laura Bush into huge Sean John billboard in Times Square. 3, organize dancers to raise lap dance prices for Halliburton executives. 4, limit Bush bashing jokes to 5 minutes a day. You don't want laughter to become a habit. 5, phrase of the day, just drop into conversation anytime on any subject. Quote, my guru told me that Bush will drop dead during his acceptance speech purely due to bad karma. Yeah, so relax. End quote. We'll be back over the top of the hour. What do we got in store for our people?
Coming up in the next hour of Morning Sedition, no naked boys for the GOP. Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Rapture Watch, and so much more here on Air America Radio. Stay with us.
I want you to listen very carefully. Now, if you're ever at a party and someone asks you if you'd like to shove a stick of dynamite up your rear end, don't do it. Dynamite is very, very dangerous.
Got it, Dad.
It'd be nice if teenagers thought that using the drug ecstasy was as dangerous as, say, sticking dynamite up their rear ends.
and that it can cause panic attacks, severe depression, kidney failure, heart failure, seizures, even death. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Research shows that the highest-achieving students attend schools with good library media centers. It's easy to see why. School library media centers across the country have been helping teachers bring lessons to life. With computers, videos, books, and more for years. The Campaign for America's Libraries reminds you that school library media specialists help students develop the information searching skills they need to succeed throughout their lives.
All systems ready.
Cool.
Lifelong learning begins at your library. Then.
I am the Edison Photograph. Those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. In Iraq, mortar fire slammed into a mosque in Kufa, filled with Iraqis preparing to march on the city of Najaf, killing 27 people and wounding 63. Hours later, unidentified gunmen opened fire from an Iraqi National Guard base on thousands of Muslim marchers heading to Najaf, killing at least three and wounding 46. The U.S. military and the insurgents each blaming the other for the violence. Grand Ayatollah Ali Husseini al-Sistani returned to Iraq on Wednesday from a trip to London and was headed to his hometown of Najaf in an armored car convoy. His aides said thousands of chanting supporters ran out to greet his convoy as it passed through one town. Meanwhile, fierce fighting continued Thursday in Najaf. A second government report this week has some very harsh words to describe the situation at Iraq's Abu Ghraib prison. One of those words, torture. Generals who investigated the abuse say they found serious misconduct and a loss of moral value. And one general said, significantly, some abuses amounted to torture. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry says heads should roll because of that abuse, starting with Donald Rumsfeld.
Again today, as I have previously, I call for the resignation of the Secretary of Defense for failure to do what he should have done.
John Kerry speaking at a union rally in Philadelphia yesterday. The U.S. Olympic Committee is calling on President Bush's campaign to stop running television ads that credit the president for the presence of athletes in Athens from Afghanistan and Iraq. Under an act of Congress, the Olympic Committee controls the use of Olympic terms and images, and the organization must be non-political and may not promote the candidacy of an individual seeking public office. A report coming out today will state just how many people in America are living in poverty and how many are without health insurance, and experts predict both figures will show increases. However, Democrats are saying President Bush is playing election year politics by releasing the figures a month earlier than usual. Usually these annual numbers come out in separate reports in late September. The early release date has some Democrats charging the White House is spinning the data for political purposes. The Census Bureau, which is releasing the data, denies those charges, saying there's been no influence or pressure from the White House. And protesters have lost again in their bid to get a permit to rally in Central Park in New York this Sunday following a march planned to go past the site of the Republican National Convention. A state judge turned down their request to use Central Park yesterday, and as a result, protest leaders say the march will simply end at Madison Square Garden, leaving as many as 250,000 protesters milling around downtown Manhattan. And a new poll says 71% of New York's registered voters think protesters should be allowed to demonstrate in Central Park. 11% say they plan to go to a demonstration themselves. The Quinnipiac University poll says 81% approve of lawful demonstrations during the convention. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Bendy with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Robin is on the verge of bankruptcy and wants to know if debt consolidation is the answer. I'll tell her next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Robin use debt consolidation? Is debt consolidation a good thing? We don't want to file bankruptcy, but we're at rock bottom. Please answer.
Only time I would recommend debt consolidation is to avoid bankruptcy. My guess is you're not as close to bankruptcy as you think. You're just desperate and scared and tired. And what you really need is a budget and maybe an extra job and a big garage sale. The problem with debt consolidation is it doesn't change the habits. And the habits are what have to change. In debt consolidation, 88% of the time that people move their credit card debt into a new form of debt, don't change their habits, and their credit card debt grows back. So now we got double debt and a real serious mess. So that's why I don't recommend debt consolidation, because it's a ripoff. The only reason the payments are lower is not because the interest rate's better, it's because you're going to be in debt longer. But if keeping your payments down will cause you to avoid bankruptcy, and that's the only thing that does, then I would. And I honestly think that you'd probably do some other things first.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour. And this is Morning Sedition.
Dad Passman, son of Lewis and Linda Passman, get me some coffee, buddy. Help me out. I know it's not your job. I need some help.
Wait a minute. That's not the 70s movie coffee.
Ah! Oh, no, not that coffee. Man, I tell you, I got to do this.
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry? He bad.
John Kerry bad. I don't like him. John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses. Me no like John Kerry.
He not good. John Kerry's my poop. Fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry. John Kerry took my shoe.
Swiftbook Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Oh, Riley, I'm having too much fun now. We're going to do the new one.
There was sadism on the night shift at Abu Ghraib. Sadism that was certainly not authorized. It was a kind of animal house on the night shift.
Get ready for the wildest comedy of the summer. It's Donald Rumsfeld's Abu Ghraib Animal House, starring Lindy England, Charles Rayner.
You can't do that to our pledges. Only we can do that to our pledges.
Chip Frederick.
Now, we have an old saying in Delta. Don't get mad. Get even.
And Donald Rumsfeld as Dean Wormer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
It's the slob.
Yeah, well, something. There's some karmic problem happened with our animal house.
Let me guess.
Parody.
It was in mono or something?
Something happened. I don't know. It's just not the whole thing.
Well, wait a minute. How do you expect to get, you know, complaints if you don't play the whole thing?
We already got one complaint earlier.
What's yeah.
that? No, you want.
We'll figure it out,
folks. Wait, but if the people didn't hear it, we want them to hear it. So bring it on, Tim.
There was sadism on the night shift at Abu Ghraib. Sadism that was certainly not authorized. It was a kind of animal house on the night shift.
Get ready for the wildest comedy of the summer. It's Donald Rumsfeld's Abu Ghraib Animal House. Starring Lindy Ingwell. Charles Grainer.
You can't do that to our pleasants. Only we can do that to our pleasants.
Chip Frederick.
Now, we have an old saying in Delta. Don't get mad. Get even.
And Donald Rumsfeld as Dean Wormer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
It's the slob versus the snob in this hilarious prison romp. Donald Rumsfeld's Abu Ghraib Animal House. He'll laugh till it hurts.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah. Yep.
Demented.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Perverted.
Yeah.
Perverse.
Yes. That's us.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Why aren't they talking about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. They've gone crazy. They're doing, they're making fun of pain. I don't care. Oh, no. My coffee machine's broken.
Now, the guy at the beginning was James Schlesinger, former Secretary of Defense and head of the panel that investigated, one of the panels that investigated the Abu Ghraib prison torture. Torture! Not abuse, and torture!
Yeah, but they said that, and they've made those statements, and people are going to take the fall for this, yet they still use that language. What is it with people and the language? I watch commentators on CNN, on all the news outlets, that use the language of the oppressors. If I'm going to put it clearly, that even people don't even know they're being, like news reporters, don't know they're being condescending. They don't know they're taking a position when they use language. I wish I could use a direct example of it. But when they characterize, you know, Kerry as sort of like the only response Kerry could make, even when they're trying to be objective and they say things like that, they are taking a side. And it's because they are too vapid and dim to realize that the cultural language has shifted. And as reporters, they need not only to take responsibility and also sort out what the truth is and investigate the truth, certainly around, you know, who Kerry really is, for instance.
Well,
but they also have to take responsibility for their language. And try not to be biased, and because I think that some of them are too stupid to even realize it.
Well, the issue of the extent to which they even got into the Swift Bowl thing has been called into serious question. How much coverage did they give it? Why did they treat some of these allegations, which had been debunked numerous times, as having a ring of truth? The whole thing with O'Neill saying he was in, saying he wasn't in Cambodia and that John Kerry couldn't have been in Cambodia, yet he told Richard Nixon back in 71 that he was in Cambodia.
So O'Neill's a liar.
Yeah.
He's clearly a liar. That just proves he's
a
liar.
Or a prevaricator, or whatever.
These are ideological issues, and those guys are ideological, they're ideologically wrong.
Well, yeah, but they are ideologically cunning as well, or politically cunning, in trying to get because this is all about holding on to power, Mark.
Of course
it is. This is all about holding on to power. If these Swift boat guys, if Bush gets reelected, they'll all go back to the towns they live in with an extra little hitch in their step, a little swagger, and the next time they go in to, you know, look for a job from somebody, they'll say, hey, we were part of those veterans that brought down John Kerry, and maybe they'll get hired.
Well, I hope to God they self-destruct. You know, and I don't know if they will, but, you know, you got a president that's going out on the road, will only talk to planned, you know, he will filter who he speaks to. He speaks to, military groups. He speaks to, you know,
supporters is who he speaks to.
Only supporters, but he's the president. He should be speaking to the people. You can't, you know, he has people fill out loyalty oaths.
He is speaking to people who agree with him.
Yeah, but
that's
now,
all it is.
And now, if somebody like Bob Barr, who is a conservative
being, Georgia Republican,
is being critical of the way the president has sicked the FBI on potential protesters before any protest happens. He's got the FBI looking around in chat groups, looking on the internet, listening in for a cell phone calls, and apparently they have been intimidating people that they think are potential protesters. Apparently, the FBI has been intruding into people's lives to the degree that, I don't know if they're using the Patriot Act on this or not, but this has always been the big fear about the Patriot Act. It's like, you know, how broad is the definition of terrorism? When is terrorism like an act of legal protest? When is terrorism, you know, the guy who watches too much porn? When is the intrusion too much? That's the problem, the slippery slope with the Patriot Act. But I want to know, if there are any people out there that want to call me, you know, right now, right now. You don't have to. I'm not really taking calls, but I am taking this call. 866-303-2270. If you have had FBI attention because of suspected interest, you know, that they think you're going to protest because they have, you know, somehow, and you don't even know how they showed up or got your name. If you've had that experience, I'd like to talk to you.
Well, you know, our guest, Jamie Moran, might well have been somebody the FBI might have had.
We're definitely going to talk to him about that. He's an anarchist who's going to tell us about, you know, contemporary anarchy in modern culture.
RNCnotwelcome.org.
But also, I want to talk about the schism that could actually end in a Republican civil war after this on Air America Radio.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
Olympic beach volleyball champ and Sirius own Kerry Walsh has been calling in from the Olympics.
I'm Kerry Walsh from Sirius 28 Faction. Hope you guys are doing wonderfully at home. Athens is treating us well.
Giving us updates along the way.
We have 4 more matches to win, beginning with the single elimination round against China.
In search of Olympic glory.
We're on the road to the goals. Keep your fingers crossed.
Well, we kept them crossed, Kerry. And to you and the rest of the team, congratulations on Olympic gold. From everyone here in your Sirius family.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst.
There are fewer and fewer organizations that are using the printed ad, and one of the major reasons is that they typically get so many applications in that they can't manage them, and unfortunately, as a result of discarding some of them, they usually get people phoning up or getting in touch with them and saying, you discriminated against me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a litigious society, and people said a good way to make some money is to say, you discriminated against me, didn't give me a chance with this job, and therefore I'm going to sue you. So people are using those printed want ads less and less and less. Typically, I think they're probably most useful if you're looking for a trade in a local area or a job in a local area. If you're trying to change your career or move to another area geographically, it doesn't work at all that way.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
I wasn't going to school because I was just making money stealing cars. Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, nobody cared.
When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out.
I just thought the only way I can make something out of my life is that if I get an education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself. Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Good news, it's 17 past the hour. My therapist is back in town, Mark.
Oh, you want to see him today?
Yeah, and you're going to hear why in a minute.
This is
my dream from last night, disturbing. So I go into work, and Halliburton has bought Air America Radio. Apparently this happened to me before because I go right to work. Good morning, this is Mark the Shark Marin with Right and Early, the conservative's way to wake up. Right here on Radio Halliburton. Halliburton, destroying today to build a better tomorrow.
they say the Abu Ghraib was like Animal House. Hey, sounds like a friggin' blast to me, you know what I mean? Those liberals never want anyone to have a good time. Am I right or what? Hey, Bluto, throw me a beer so I can pour it on this terrorist. How's that feel? Hey, protesters, look out. The Republicans are coming to New York. You probably never saw so many people in that town with a job. Am I right? Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. Woohoo! Yeah. Hey, let's make a prank call.
Hello? This is John Kerry. I'm stupid. I'm a flip-flopper and a liberal, and my wife is really rich. kill me. God, I'm on fire here. Hey, it's time for the weather. Sunny skies, 75 degrees. Why? Because W is the man. That's why. What's the matter, liberals? Sorry, it's not raining.
Oh, man, I woke up and my bed was filled with shrimp cocktail. I don't know what that means, man. What is that about?
It's about I'm fired, I guess.
Oh, wow, man, that was my God. That was just even recalling it.
But it was. It sounded like you were having fun, though.
Yeah, that's what I think. Sounds like someone was having a little too much fun.
That's right.
So look, let's get into this quickly before we. We got time.
We got a little time. Yeah.
Now. The other day, Dick Cheney came out and said that, you know, he's not in support of a constitutional ban on gay marriage. He believes it's a state issue, and he also believes that his daughter is gay.
Yes.
And that he is right about, because she is. She's out. And I think that, you know, I mistook this as some sort of showing of humility and heart on behalf of the evil vice president.
Didn't I disabuse you of that notion yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that the reason, on some level, I hate to give the guy any human point. At all.
So don't.
Okay, I won't, because it turns out today that this was political.
Of course.
It's clearly political.
He was politically pimping his lesbian daughter.
Yes, absolutely.
That's all it is.
But she works for the campaign, so I guess he can justify that.
Yeah.
But what's going on is that now George Bush, he is standing behind and endorsing the ban on gay marriage.
Well, yeah, he has stood fast on that. And the other thing that you're seeing, Mark, and this is something that the Republicans have done with varying degrees of success over the last few years. What they do is they put on this moderate face at the convention. They get Rudy Giuliani. They get Arnold Schwarzenegger. They get George Pataki. They get the moderate wing of the party to come up. They give their speeches. Donnie McClurkin sings about God. Everybody thinks Republicans are as inclusive as they want to be.
Yeah.
But the platform that they're standing on, the platform that they are constructing at, well, probably not yet.
Was built on narrow-minded religious fanaticism.
Not only do they support a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage,
yeah,
they oppose legal recognition of any kind for gay civil unions.
Yeah.
Any kind
and
of
this,
recognition.
This is the schism. This is the difference between the two conservatives. And Thomas Frank illustrates this in his book. He's going to be with us next week when we're down at the convention.
Yes.
I can't wait to talk to him again, because this is deep stuff. Is that there really is a difference between the moderate Republicans, the fiscal conservatives, and the sort of the people that believe that government should be small and not intrusive. And then there's the ultra-right conservatives who all they care about are moral issues, are wedge issues, because they have completely surrendered their interest in the fact that, you know, the economy stinks. We're involved in a war that, you know, we shouldn't be involved in. We've got a president who is a religious fanatic, and that's all they care about, because they think he is going to, number one, deliver them to the rapture, which he has plans of doing, and also he's going to stop this moral sliding of American culture.
Well, see, this is, and I like this quote. There's Christopher Barron from the Log Cabin Republicans.
Yeah.
The Log Cabin Republicans is a gay rights group that is in the GOP.
Yeah.
And he says, quote, "You can't craft a vicious, mean-spirited platform and then try to put lipstick on the pig by putting Rudy Giuliani and Arnold Schwarzenegger on in prime time." I like that.
Yeah, yeah,
lipstick on a pig. And then Arnold and Rudy.
But apparently there's a nickname that these guys have for these Republicans, right?
Rhino. Republicans in name only.
Right. So, but the truth of the matter is this is beautiful stuff, because if these guys go down, which we're counting on, and which you're saying they will, and I believe you, and I want them to, and I'm doing everything I can here to make that happen, as is our next guest.
Jamie Moran.
Jamie Moran, who is going to be at the protest this weekend, is that, you know, if they go down, there's going to be literally a civil war within the Republican Party, which would be tremendous.
Well, there'll be a civil war because this strategy, the strategy of putting on a moderate happy face while pursuing a narrow conservative agenda to satisfy your base, it will say that the base is too small. The base is too small to carry an election. What that means also, by the way, is that the base of Democrats came out and voted. That huge number, and there are literally tens of millions of people across the country, black people in particular, who don't come out and vote in these elections. What it'll say to the Republicans is they came out, they voted, the legal immigrants who got citizenship came out and voted, and suddenly that narrow conservative base is in crisis, because now they have to try and figure out if they're going to now move to control the party and make the argument that you would have won had you listened to us, or do they go back to the moderate middle of the road, the so-called, what used to be called in previous generations, Rockefeller Republicans, who were conservative on fiscal issues, but were, for example, pro-choice, in many instances, pro-gun control, pro some of the issues that the conservatives are rabid about. And again, Mark, I keep coming back to this because it startled me so much yesterday. Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council said, with a straight face, ladies and gentlemen, that to many of his community, flock, whatever.
Yeah.
Traditional family values outweighs the economy or jobs creation as campaign issues.
That's a scary premise, because that means that there are plenty of Americans that are fanatical enough in their religious beliefs that they are willing to disregard the economic, health of the nation, to disregard the fact that this president is a liar and that he transgresses in almost everything that he does and hides it from everybody. They're willing to disregard everything, reality, in order to honor their religious beliefs and their tremendous deep-seated fear that if gays can get married, that if people can't have abortions, if people can have abortions when they need them or decide to have them, that it's going to completely morally bankrupt the entire country.
Well, the Republican platform committee is meeting today here in New York City.
I got to check myself, man. Hold on.
Blah, 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 blah.
Thank you.
There you go.
That's what I just sounded like to myself.
Now, according to Republicans for Choice, spokesperson Ann Stone, we have an incumbent president hanging on to reelection by his fingernails. Even hardcore moderates don't want to hold a bloody dagger over his head. So instead of, for example, trying to remove the anti-abortion plank from the platform, or instead of trying to remove that noxious gate. Yeah, so what they're doing now is saying they want to have a unity plank that says, well, there's a big enough tent among the Republicans to have pro-choice people and pro-gay rights people under the rubric of the Republican Party. But everybody who knows Republicanism, certainly of recent vintage, knows there is no real room.
Well, that's the thing, that in because there's a large contingency of the Republican Party that believes it should be a revival tent.
Exactly. and see, that revival tent does not have room. They can try and fool themselves, these log cabin people, the Republicans for Choice, they can try and fool themselves into believing that they can find common ground with these folks, but I got news for you. There is no common ground for these folks. These folks are pursuing their agenda.
Yeah, period. Come on over to our team, man. If you're a moderate Republican, let me extend. You know, and I'm a fairly progressive guy, and I want to welcome you. Come on over. Instead of not voting in protest because you don't believe in your party anymore because of this president, come on over and vote for Kerry. It's going to be okay. Come on.
Come on over.
And also, if you haven't registered to vote, don't be stupid. All right, don't be stupid. Go out and register to vote. I've done it before in my life where you're just like, hey, you know, what difference does it make? Or, hey, you know, my states are, you know, already going to vote for Kerry. Or, hey, you know, it's like, I forgot to. Do it.
Did I tell you all that stuff? Did I know you back then? Because I ran the same thing. And it's not just the presidency. It's the House. It's the Senate. It's local legislatures, which really decide in many states across this country, how people's money is spent, how much tax they end up getting taken out of their pocketbooks. These kinds of offices are up for election this year, and it is way too important to take that smart sort of cynical view. And again, I had it. Mark had it. We were all about it at one point or another, saying, hey, man, I'm not doing that. Power, get away from me.
Exactly. Don't let the revival tent get too big.
Absolutely not. When we come back, Jamie Moran from RNCNotWelcome.org, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, you on the phones, and Rapture Watch here on Air America Radio.
Latest beach report shows a big wave of pollution.
14 years ago, there were 2,500 a year. Now we exceed 18,000 beach closures and advisories due to pollution every year.
Director of the Clean Water Project for Natural Resources Defense Council, Nancy Stoner.
There are bacteria levels that are so high, they make people sick.
The bacteria comes from two major sources.
Raw and inadequately treated sewage and stormwater that's contaminated with human waste and animal waste.
The solution? Implement current legislation like the Clean Water Act.
Contact representatives in Congress to restore the $500 million cut to Clean Water Act funding made in the president's budget this year.
Take action online at
nrdc.org.
That's Planet Check.
Climate Check is possible thanks to Biodiesel America. Biodiesel, clean-burning, home-grown fuel. Find your energy freedom at biodieselamerica.org.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. Iraq's top Muslim cleric has arrived in Najaf on a peace mission. The Grand Ayatollah Sistani, back from a visit to London, has come to the holy city where fighting has raged off and on for weeks. Mortar attacks and gunfire on peace marchers in Kufa, Iraq, have killed dozens. The U.S. military says it did not initiate the violence. Insurgents say they didn't either. Democrats have formulated their response to next week's Republican National Convention. It will be mission not accomplished. That, of course, is a play on last year's claim about Iraq by President Bush aboard an aircraft carrier. The Democrats say that also refers to economic policies that ignore the middle class. Wrapping up a week-long break at his Texas ranch, President Bush makes campaign stops in New Mexico today. Don't call it Bush's vacation, call it downtime. That's the preferred phrase of White House press representatives. A CBS News tally shows that Bush has made 38 visits to his ranch, adding up to 20% of his presidency spent in downtime. Mark Shearer, Radio News.
Are your employees falling asleep on the job?
Productivity down.
Customers complaining.
You stink.
Well, before you fire everyone and go out of business, try switching the music in your workplace to Sirius. Come on, you're already in love with the music in your car and home. Bring the Sirius business plan to work. At $24.95 a month, it's cheaper than Muzak and a lot more fun. Log on to Sirius.com and click through business subscriptions or give us a call at 888-539-SIRIUS.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Renee and her husband owe $16K to a creditor and are worried about losing their home. I'll try to help after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Renee is worried about losing her home because of credit card debt.
I have a question about credit card companies and or attorneys. My husband just had an attorney call him, and basically what they did was threaten to put a lien against our home. He called his attorney, and his attorney said, oh, yeah, they can absolutely do that, and in some cases they will make you sell your home and pay them the balance.
Well, your attorney gave you technically correct information, but practically useless. Yes. Someone can sue you, and if they win the lawsuit against you, which they would in the case of credit card debt that you actually owe, and they win the lawsuit against you, and then you don't pay that lawsuit, they can take a lien against your property. And then, yes, they can execute on that judgment. And, yes, they can cause an asset of yours to be sold to satisfy the judgment. So technically it could happen. Will it? No, it won't.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Okay, here we go. 33 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yo.
How you doing, Mark? You
all right? I'm all right, man. I'm feeling good.
Good.
No candy.
Good night. Yeah, we did all right
you
this morning.
You did the M&M's up, man.
Well, no, there was only about 4 M&M's left. I had a couple Hershey's Kisses, but we're not jammed.
The Snicker bar is still in there? Oh, they took it away, thank God.
Who ate the Snicker bar? Somebody took it.
Somebody took it. Okay.
Yeah, we let somebody have it.
Thanks, Gina.
What are we? We're so like, what are we, 7? we eat candy and we talk about candy.
Hey, wait a minute. My daughter's 7. Don't insult 7-year-olds.
Not insulting 7-year-olds. I just shouldn't be acting like one. All right. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 58, Leaders of Iraq. Good morning. Yes, it is morning. I hear you're having a peace march to try to take the edge off of that religious violence you're so good at. I know. Hey, that's groovy, man. You can wear flowers in your hair, but do you really think a peace march is going to stop religious extremists? Exactly. Neither do I. So how do you pacify your angry clerics? Here's what we do in the States. We flatter them and mention God in all of our speeches. Then we drop the manna from the heaven. That's right. Billions in dollars. In tax dollars. These are called, repeat after me, faith-based initiatives. Basically, it's just a payoff to keep the churches in line and buy their votes. You'd be amazed at how unangry these holy rollers get when you give them some dollars for their pockets. Hey, we know how much you people love your religion, but let's get something straight. You answer to us, all right? Then you answer to God or Allah or whoever you guys pray to. If you're looking for a higher power, your search is over. It's called the United States of America. So stay cool or you'll be feeling the wrath of the great God, Uncle Sam. Remember, money's not the only thing we can drop from the sky. Until then, good luck and God bless. This is Day 58 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. There you go. In our studio right now, sitting, scared. No, he's all right. He's all right. He is the creator of a website called RNCNotWelcome.org. He is a self-proclaimed anarchist. It's funny, right here they say you're a member of the RNC.
Oh, yeah.
That's not quite right.
His name isn't Ed Gillespie.
That's a little mistake there. Jamie Moran. Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You bet, man. Tell us a little bit about this site.
Well, the site is rncnowwelcome.org, and a group of friends and myself started it in April 2003 after hearing that on a page 6 byline that, you know, the RNC is coming here. And it was at a time leading up to the impending war, and we also heard about the Olympics bid, and we were just, you know, especially after 9/11, we were all like, wow, New York's going to be a really crazy place to live with all these stadiums and the terror attacks and whatnot. So we decided to start this site in order to just, you know, generate some discussion in the activist community and other communities we run in.
Did it work?
Yeah, I think it did. I think it was one of the early pieces. A few other individuals started community-wide discussions in June and July of 2003, and this led to a sort of coming together of activists and community-based organizations called the No RNC Clearinghouse that has been meeting since July 2003.
Are you feeling that the we just got an article from a conservative, actually, from Bob Barr, who said that the FBI has been monitoring chat rooms and sites. Have you felt any of that? Has anyone in the organization been he's saying that what the FBI is doing now is, instead of, you know, actually showing up to bust people, they're trying to pre-bust people.
Have you felt that? We haven't felt it personally. We've definitely heard some stories, you know, and I know in Boston there was a fair amount of heat felt by organizers there. I think about 3 weeks ago, anarchists in about, I think, 5 states were visited by the FBI, claiming they were investigating some plot, you know, and that was going to take place in Boston, but, you know, they later rescinded that. So locally, you know, the FBI, I think, is very much involved and monitoring, but very quiet, at least from our perspective.
And how long have you been in the FBI, Jamie? what I want to know, could you define anarchist for me and maybe some of our listeners? Because I think it's sort of a broad idea at this point in time, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah, and it is. And I mean, I think it's a word that's much maligned in mainstream culture, especially with, you know, the Daily News publishing what they publish today on the cover is Anarchy, Inc.
Anarchy Incorporated.
Hardcore troublemakers. I think simply, you know, for myself, anarchism is, you know, I know best how to live my life. And really, anarchism is a philosophy based on on, you know, sort of mutual aid, sharing, in some ways individualism, no leaders, things like that.
Like sort of community barter, like, you know, instead of money, I'll trade you this CD for that lunch.
Sure, I think there's a lot of aspects of our daily life that are quite anarchistic, but...
What did I read? I read some weird literature. It was some semi-textbook about this whole utopian anarchist idea. I can't remember what it was. It's not a Hakim Bey book. It's some other. I'll think of it before the end of the segment. What are you looking at, Matt Riley? What do you got on your mind there?
You did sign in when you came in here, right? You didn't?
No.
Now let's talk protests.
Yeah, sure.
Because there's been a lot of the protests have been all over the news here in New York. As you see, the police are now warning about, Anarchy Incorporated. There's the whole question of the United for Peace and Justice March. First of all, what is RNCNotWelcome.org got planned on the protest front?
Well, RNCNotWelcome.org is basically a resource for all the people coming here and the people that are already here that are protesting, and we're seeking to elevate people's voices and promote their events. We do not have any official events planned, but all the individuals in our group will be in the streets and will be taking direct action, in particular on August 31st.
Define direct action.
Direct action would be an action taken that directly affects that in which you're in opposition to or, you know, which you support.
Sit-ins?
Sure, direct action.
Really?
Strikes would be direct action.
Strikes?
Sure.
Destruction of property?
I think it would be.
Would be?
Yes.
Smashing windows?
Yeah.
You think that's going to happen, that stuff?
I doubt it, actually, based on the tenor of the tone of what everyone's discussing. It doesn't seem to be. It most certainly is what people, especially corporate media, tends to focus on. You know, they print these pictures and they say, oh, people are going to come here and smash the city. It's all this out-of-town anarchists are coming. But it's actually in-town anarchists that are organizing. And there's actually a large diversity of people that are organizing against the RNC. So the focus on property destruction, when we have all these very positive things going on, is sort of misleading, I think.
Well, that's good, because like there's some people that believe that the RNC is baiting people to almost do this, that they want photo opportunities. They want to align the Democrats with this whole surge of anti-Kerry advertising that's characterizing him as a hippie, you know, as some sort of anti-American hippie, and they're sort of hoping that somebody will do something so they can get these photo ops and make the Republicans or the Democrats look like a bunch of, like, radicals.
I know that is a perspective that's been raised, but I feel like the Bush administration's choice on coming to New York City for the RNC was a little less conspiratorial. I feel like at the time that it was chosen, which was 2002,
yeah,
and it was most certainly a choice of the New York City Host Committee and Mayor Bloomberg, I feel like Bush was in a much different spot as far as his popularity, and I felt like they were going to come here and wrap themselves in the glory of 9-1-1 and, you know, look at the response
right.
of this country. And I feel like basically Republicans are coming here, they want the symbol of 9-1-1, but, you know, we have firehouses closing, we have like a local, you know.
Yeah, who the hell are they to come to our town?
We have a local population that's totally, New York City's like values are totally at odds with regressive like and Republican policies.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, it is a mistake, and I feel like in some ways we've won already by forcing them out of basically away from ground zero, where they were going to dedicate their groundstone during the RNC. This was announced like 8 months ago, and they rescinded that.
Okay, let's talk about more in a second. Let's take some calls, 866-303-2270. That's and we'll be back with Jamie in a minute and with your calls, Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
On the first day, he said, let there be light. And there was, and it was good.
Damn.
On the second came the separation of the waters, and land, and birds, and sea creatures, and then man. And it was good. And then, on the seventh day, he created 16 channels of rock.
Rock.
And it was awesome! Summer rock!
On Sirius. Bingo.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Tray, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius,
a pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
Hey, what's going on? It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yo!
We are here with Jamie Moran, who is an anarchist but doesn't want to call himself an anarchist because anarchism can mean a lot of things. And, you know, he's created a website, which is...
RNCNotWelcome.org.
RNCNotWelcome.org, which has sort of been a clearinghouse of protest thoughts and organizations. Right? There are a lot of people coming together on the site and
sure.
contacting each other. And, oh, now I got the name of the book because I'm so hung up like that. It's called Bolo Bolo. It's not by Hakeem Bey. It's by just by someone who goes by the initials PM. I went through this phase where I read a lot of Atana Media books, and it is about how to sort of create total planetary revolution in a very nice way where people just trade rocks and biscuits. But call us at 866-303-2270 if you're going to the protest, you got something to say, or you want to talk to Jamie, Mark Riley.
I have one question for Jamie before we go to phones. There was some talk in the run-up to the convention that some people were going to infiltrate the volunteer corps that had been organized on the part of the RNC to welcome people, the host committee, I guess. Did that happen? And if it did, what do you think it will accomplish, if anything?
Well, I think it did happen, and based on some of the posts to the New York City Independent Media Center website, it seems people have given very detailed, report backs from those training sessions. But as far as I understand it, it is August 26th, and the RNC has still not sent out assignments to those volunteers. I think there's very much a movement to call in sick, to go through the process, see what they're saying, and then call in sick as a protest of it.
So, oh, okay. So in other words, they're not actually going to become volunteers and be disruptive on that.
It's hard to say. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'd like to hear some of these. You said there's some reports about the training sessions available. Do you know where?
The New York City Independent Media Center site.
Okay. Can we get some? We'll post it. I'd like to take a look at that myself. Right now we got Kate on the phone in Manhattan. How are you, Kate?
Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Hello. Good morning.
The Republicans, they're coming to New York to shop. Did you know that Mayor Bloomberg announced the no tax session for their week here?
Well, we've got to get
free shopping.
We've got to get their money somehow.
They're not contributing to our tax base. Thank you.
Oh, I see.
You mean Scores doesn't pay taxes?
I can't believe that. So they sort of detached themselves from giving us the proper amount of money after 9/11, and now Bloomberg's going to play along and not take their money now?
Right.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Wait, Jamie's got something.
One other thing is that CNN just reported yesterday that the city comptroller, William Thompson,
yeah.
estimated that the RNC is going to lose $309 million during the RNC. The city will lose 309 million. This is the comptroller.
Because of this no tax idea or just because?
No, that's
everyone's going to split, right? Because most New Yorkers are like, I'm out of here.
Also based on street closures, businesses in Midtown are going to suffer. They talked to a bunch of people in Midtown that are, you know, really concerned.
Essentially closing their doors
basically
through the entire week. I mean, there are businesses as far as a block from here, between 5th and 6th Avenues. You know how close that is. They are talking about closing for the entire week because they feel they're going to have access problems.
I think we should have taxed them double. Why are we giving the Republicans a tax break?
We got a Republican mayor.
Is he really, though? Is
yeah,
he one that is
well, we'll find out, won't
well,
we?
Taxpayers are also footing the bill on a $78 million security budget for the NYPD alone.
Wow.
Yeah. Plenty of overtime.
Wow. Well, it's good for the cops, I guess.
To some extent, but see, you know, with all of these warnings that are coming out,
yeah,
with all of these ideas that, you know, people are coming out to do violence,
right?
The police are not, you know, it's one thing to, you know, get your overtime by policing a parade or something. Something else, having to worry about whether or not there are going to be some kind of confrontations between the police and protesters. And see, I really am, as someone who's been to a lot of protests in New York, I really think the onus there is on the police. The police are the ones that control the tenor of the relationship with protesters. And the bottom line is, you know, if they can't separate people who are nonviolent from people who are trying to hurt somebody or whatever, that's on them. That's not on the protest.
Hey, you getting the feeling that there are any sort of strange sort of agent provocateurs within the ranks of the protests that are going to start a disruption?
No, I don't feel that. I mean, other than the quite obvious undercover cops at some of the meeting, the open meetings, asking very leading questions, that's about it.
You can tell who they are?
I can tell who some of them are, based on the fact that they ask really stupid questions and are quite obvious.
Yeah. Like what?
Like, we gonna blow up something?
Well, they, you know, they're...
When does the violence begin? At what time do we have to show up for when we break
the fight?
Well, you know, a lot of the groups have very, very open, large, open to the media, direct action trainings where they talk about the philosophies and explain how to plan actions and do things. And some of these undercovers have come to, like, three of them, which is kind of rare. And then they ask questions, hey, how can I join your action group? And, over and over. They'll come with four people, and then we'll be like, well, you can work with those people. And they'll be like, oh, I want to join your action group. And it's just a little obvious after a while.
You can just feel
it. Yeah, but, I mean, we're a pretty open movement. That's going to happen. They will send in cops.
Sure. It's pretty common. Yeah, I feel so stupid because, like, in my head when Kate called, like, I'm sort of like, how come the first thing I thought was like, yeah, we're taxing him. And she just out and out said, it's no tax.
No tax week.
Yeah, I have these moments where I get very, you know when you say something on radio and you realize as it goes out into the ether that, like, that's not, I can't get that back. And there. Listen, Jamie, I want to thank you for coming down.
Thank you.
Be careful. Everybody's going to be out there. You know, please be careful. And we'll be back with more. We got Rapture Watch coming up on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution. Order Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records today at www.airamericaradio.com. The Revolution Starts Now is also available at all Borders books and music stores.
Revolution starts now.
Olympic beach volleyball champ and Sirius own Kerry Walsh has been calling in from the Olympics.
I'm Kerry Walsh from Sirius 28 Faction. Hope you guys are doing wonderfully at home. Athens is treating us well.
Giving us updates along the way.
We have four more matches to win, beginning with the single elimination round against China.
In search of Olympic glory.
We're on the road to the gold. Keep your fingers crossed.
Well, we kept them crossed, Kerry. And to you and the rest of the team, congratulations on Olympic gold. From everyone here in your Sirius family.
Hello.
Hi, Bill?
This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving. And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The greatest gift a dad can give his kids isn't something he can buy. It's something priceless. Time. Studies show that kids with involved fathers are less likely to abuse drugs, commit crimes, get pregnant, get depressed, or fail academically. All it takes is time. And it takes a man to be a dad. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Call 1-800-790-DADS for free, helpful information or visit www.fatherhood.org.
Nice guy, Jamie. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's
not good. Very dramatic. You know what I mean? He's a pretty down-to-earth cat. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Good morning, Sedition. We just got our bagels delivered. That's very exciting.
I'll be off mic for the next 5 minutes.
Good, because you know what time it is. The Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present Rapture Watch. Take heed, you fornicators, unchaste gluttonizers, engravers of images that are graven. Turn from your wicked ways, for the end times are really near this time. I mean, I know I said the last time, but this time it's for real, people. Case in point, as prophesied, a plague of locusts have descended upon the Italian town of Matera, where Mel Gibson directed The Passion of Christ. How do you like that? For it is clearly written, though admittedly hard to translate correctly without a PhD in various ancient Greek and Etruscan dialects, it is clearly written in Revelation 98.9 FM, serving Los Angeles, Riverside, and Montclair, quote, "And the fifth angel sounded, and locusts did eat upon the earth, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months," end quote. Wow! Don't you see? The Passion has been in theaters for at least that long, all right? I can see the little beast right now, chewing up the town faster than Mel's acting troupe chewed up the scenery. The world will pay dearly for keeping this lame-ass biopic at the box office for so long. Rapture experts, or raptors as we call them, now believe a plague will hit every location where Mel Gibson made a movie. That's right, Mark Riley. So if you're worried about where the next attacks might occur, here's some clues. The three most dreaded words in show business. What women want. That's right. Look out, Culver City. You're in for a rain of black-spotted frogs. And let's not forget Braveheart. Heads up, County Kildare, Ireland. You remember Mel running around the peat bogs wearing that Ace Frehley wig? You're way overdue for a torrent of rancid cow soot, moldy breadcrumbs, and Sprite with lime in. Yeah, you heard me. Sprite with Lyman. No caffeine, never had it, never will. And guess what? Mel's got three more movies coming out this year. So join a church, heathens, because it won't be long before we're all drowning in a sea of excrement with Lyman. May God have mercy on us all. This has been Rapture Watch on Morning Sedition. And I think I worked out my stomach doing that. Delivering that.
Ab crunches?
Quickly, let's hear from who is it? Lario in Florida. Lario, how are you? We got about a minute here.
Hey, Lario.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, doing, sir.
Mark and Mark, you know, it's really a pleasure to come on. I've been trying to for a long time.
Oh, okay.
We're glad you're here.
Well, thanks a lot. I mean, I am a Vietnam veteran.
Yeah.
Combat wounded.
Yeah.
In fact, my mother had 7 sons. 3 of us went. 1 didn't come back because he was killed over there.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
So I understand the pain and agony of this Marine father in Vietnam when they came to bring him that bad news sure. about his son who was killed in Iraq.
Yes, yeah.
I remember my brother took a table and a chair and just threw it at the soldiers who came to bring the bad news and scarred that coffee table, and we could never get it back.
Sorry.
But anyways, yeah. I say that to say I feel the anger, the pain, and the suffering of that man, although he just snapped and lost it and went and burned himself because he just didn't have it no more.
Yeah.
And I, being a Vietnam veteran, appalled to this George W. Bush smear tactics on the honorable service of John Kerry.
Thanks a lot, Lario. We got to go.
Good point. Excellent point.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lario.
Thanks for calling, man.
In the next hour of Morning Tradition, cartoonist Ted Rawl, Recovery Corner, The Liberal Agenda, You on the Telephones, and The Presidential Palm Pilot, all here on Air America Radio.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello. Can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Well, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Old way. And hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. Iraq's top Muslim cleric has arrived in Najaf on a peace mission. The Grand Ayatollah Sistani, just back from a reported medical-related visit to London, has come to the Holy City in a 30-vehicle convoy. He's going to try to bring peace to Najaf, where supporters of another cleric, Muqtada al-Sadr, have been resisting U.S. and Iraqi forces for weeks. Mortar attacks and gunfire on peace marchers in Kufa have killed dozens of civilians. The U.S. military says it did not initiate the violence, and the insurgents say they didn't either. Insurgents have attacked about 20 oil pipelines in southern Iraq, reducing exports from the key oil-producing region by at least a third, according to an Iraqi oil official. The Republican National Convention starts next week. Democrats say they've already developed their response to it. It's called Mission Not Accomplished. They're playing on President Bush's declaration of mission accomplished when he flew into an aircraft carrier in May last year, declaring an end to major combat in Iraq. Of course, since then, fighting has continued, and the number of American dead is approaching 1,000. The Democratic theme is part of their rapid response operation during the Republican convention in New York. That'll be run by party chairman Terry McAuliffe and Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack. The Democrats will hold daily briefings with Kerry supporters, including Senator Hillary Clinton and others. A judge has denied a last-ditch plea to rally in Central Park on the part of anti-Bush protesters. A state Supreme Court justice said Wednesday that the lawsuit filed by United for Peace and Justice to get a permit to rally in Central Park was, quote, an 11th-hour attempt to renege on an agreement, end quote. After the judge ruled, the group canceled the rally and said the demonstration on Sunday would simply end following a march from 23rd Street to Madison Square Garden. Without a place to rally afterward, the result could be mobs of demonstrators, possibly 250,000, just hanging out in midtown Manhattan with nowhere to go and nothing to do. The U.S. Olympic Committee is asking President Bush's reelection campaign to pull a TV ad focusing on the Olympics. The ad has political overtones. It shows a swimmer and the flags of Iraq and Afghanistan. And the announcer says freedom is spreading throughout the world, and at this Olympics, there will be two more free nations and two fewer terrorist regimes. Some members of the Iraqi Olympic soccer team have said that ad is politically motivated. The U.S. Olympic Committee says it's awaiting a response from the Bush campaign. And elsewhere in the news, just a recap. Iraq's top Muslim cleric has arrived in Najaf on a peace mission. The Grand Ayatollah Sistani is back from a reported medical-related visit to London, and he has come to the holy city of Najaf in an attempt to bring peace to that city where supporters of Muqtada al-Sadr have been resisting U.S. and Iraqi forces for weeks. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Mark Shearer.
Are your employees falling asleep on the job? Productivity down. Your customers complaining.
You stink.
Well, before you fire everyone and go out of business, try switching the music in your workplace to Sirius. Come on, you're already in love with the music in your car and home. Bring the Sirius business plan to work. At $24.95 a month, it's cheaper than Muzak and a lot more fun. Log on to Sirius.com and click through business subscriptions or give us a call at 888-539-SIRIUS.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Should Jan sell Mary Kay to earn some extra money? I'll help her make up her mind after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Jan sell Mary Kay for cash? Dave, what are your thoughts about selling Mary Kay for extra income? Well, they're mixed. The organization as a whole is an incredible organization. The lady herself has passed away, but was legendary as a motivator. So overall, I'm a fan. I think if I were going to be a detractor, it would be on two things. One is that sometimes in multi-level organizations, the hype gets out of control, and people are told, wrongfully so, that they can work 3 hours a week and make $100,000 a year. That's bull. The other downside is, and I think they've about quit this because I've trashed them on air so many times about it, but there was one hierarchy in particular telling ladies to buy the makeup on their credit card in advance so they would have inventory to sell. If you got to keep a garage full of inventory, you got the wrong business. I think I gave a fair across the board, good and bad there. Let's leave it at that.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
No, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dad.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Here we go.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
I'm sorry, we're a little backed up. We're a little backed up with ads here. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. Do we have that ad for that movie, Tim? Do you have that? Because we're a little backed up. Can we hear that?
There was sadism on the night shift at Abu Ghraib. Sadism that was certainly not authorized. It was kind of Animal House on the night shift.
Get ready for the wildest comedy of the summer. It's Donald Rumsfeld's Abu Ghraib and Animal House. Starring Lindy England. Charles Rayner.
You can't do that to our pledges. Only we can do that to our pledges.
Chip Frederick.
Now, we have an old saying in Delta. Don't get mad. Get even.
And Donald Rumsfeld as Dean Wormer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
It's the slobs versus the snobs in this hilarious prison romp. Donald Rumsfeld, Abu Ghraib, Animal House. You'll laugh till it hurts.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
There you go. Yeah, Otis Day and Night. We'll be playing in New York during the Republican National Convention.
Why? Nobody knows. Not even Otis.
And, of course, the...
By the way, we got to let people know that at the very beginning, that actually was James Schlesinger, who was on the commission that investigated the Abu Ghraib abuse.
And they're starting to prosecute a bit, but still they haven't quite got the language right, apparently, to still dismiss it in that way that he did. Wait, we got one more. Sorry, I got to do this for the people.
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry?
He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me no like John Kerry.
He not good. John Kerry's my poop. Fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift book veterans for truth.
You know, we got
the content of this advertisement.
We got an email from a woman who was driving to work with her 5-year-old daughter.
I saw that.
And the daughter apparently heard the John Kerry ad that we made and was hysterical.
Yeah.
The 5-year-old was hysterical. The mother was hysterical. Apparently, we're right up there now in the comedy triumvirate that her daughter finds very funny, which is the gecko on those advertisements.
On the Geico commercials,
Geico commercials. Ray Romano and our Swift boat for Carrie Ad.
There we go. In the Pantheon.
Yeah, we made it. We made it. Did I get jelly all over my pants? No, it's plum.
Plum.
We're okay.
There you go.
I'm just...
Dry plum.
Sorry, a little too much information, as they say. Is that what that is? So the protests, I guess, begin on Sunday. On Sunday, I don't believe I'm going to be there. I might check it out. I'm not sure. Mark Riley?
I'm an old hat at protesting, and I'm not going, actually. I may be doing, actually, some television on Sunday.
There's part of me that feels that because of what we do here in the morning that we are somehow...
exempt, man. Let's be down front about it. We're not attending anything. We're not doing anything. We have to get up at 2 o'clock in the stinking morning. What do you want from us?
I wonder how early we're going to have to get up because I don't know if all of you know this. We're going to go down to the convention.
Yeah.
We're going to hang out in the belly of the beast.
We're velcroing ourselves to a chair in Madison Square Garden. And we're not getting up until Bush is finished.
I hope I can talk to us. We can get somebody to sit down with us and carefully make them look stupid. Maybe not stupid. At least going.
Listen, let me tell you something.
Let's make them look Republican.
There will be enough. Let me not call them what I started to call them. There'll be enough people walking around that talk radio row to keep every show that's on there satisfied throughout the convention. People love to go on radio. They won't notice whether it's left wing, right wing, or chicken wing. If you put a microphone in front of their faces, they will talk.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. We can sort of get in there and they won't know who exactly they're talking to.
That's okay.
Yeah, and then we'll. It's like I don't know why I'm getting.
Well, you know,
excited.
I may have to sit in the background because you know there's only about 4% of the people of the delegates on the floor will be black. So you know, if they see a black guy, they probably think, well, hey, there's the anarchist station right over there.
No, they'll probably ask you to speak.
Yeah, right. Can you sing like Donnie McClurkin? Are you Donnie McClurkin?
Exactly. Yeah. So now, Kerry, though we are making we have our own little ads and our own little jokes here. But Kerry has been coming back a little bit, quite a bit. I mean, the polls, you know, screw the polls. The polls are meaningless. It's a dead heat. There's about 10% who are undecided. If they're still undecided at this point, they must be stupid. I mean, it's like enough already. What we need to do is mobilize people to get out there, register to vote. We need about 50 million more people to vote. Is that asking too much?
If we got something on the order of 75%. Of the eligible electorate. Because not everybody who lives here is eligible.
What kind
but
of person?
75% of the eligible electorate votes, guess who wins?
Kerry. How could people not be decided? I don't understand that. That's why I'm starting to question these numbers as being sort of mythic. And I also...
No, let me explain to you about the numbers. All right. The polls that we're seeing are a snapshot in time. And let me tell you what they're a snapshot of. Because somebody explained this to me as far as radio ratings are concerned.
Mm-hmm,
all right.
Mm-hmm.
You take... red marbles, blue marbles, yellow marbles, and green marbles. You put them all in a swimming pool. All right? Fill a swimming pool up with marbles. You take a steam shovel and you pull in.
Right, dude, I'm still filling the pool.
Okay, you're still filling the pool? Okay. All right, they're done.
All right.
All right. And you take a shovel and you start shoveling bunches of marbles out of the pool. You will not get the same proportion of different color marbles every time you pull the shovel out.
Yeah.
You'll get a different combination every time.
Yeah.
It's the nature of the marbles.
Okay.
The nature of the colors.
Okay.
The nature of the pool.
All right, then.
Same thing with the polling.
Yeah.
The polling will tell you all kinds of stuff. Remember, the polling, well, it was in Venezuela, but the polling in Venezuela said that Hugo Chavez was toast.
Right.
He got 58%.
Right, right.
It's not always Hillary Clinton, when she ran for the Senate just 4 years ago, neck and neck with Rick Lazio, congressman from Long Island.
Right.
And guess what happened?
What?
She creamed him.
Oh, my God.
So don't buy all of the polling that you see. I still maintain that the guy is going to win by 8 to 10 points when he's done.
But when do we bring the marbles in a truck? I mean, how do you get them all those marbles into the pool?
Same way you get water in the pool.
But in a truck or in a hose, there's a marble hose.
Yeah.
Maybe I got hung up on the wrong detail of this metaphor. But,
it's a different color marble.
Okay, so what are you saying about the shovel now?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, somebody explain radio ratings to me like
that. The guy who takes the metaphors literally, it's like, wait a minute. Where are you going to get all those marbles?
Well, yeah, I know.
Ridiculous.
And whose pool are you going to use?
Oh, my God, this is so complicated. I can't even wrap my brain around the poetry.
My head hurts.
So we can hear the ad after the break?
Yep.
Is that all right? We got a new Kerry ad that we want to play that showcases... John McCain in his reaction and his response to the same type of smear campaign that Bush tried to do on him a few years back, as you recall. We'll see that. We'll see it. You'll hear it after the break here on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Are your employees falling asleep on the job? Productivity down. Your customers complaining.
You stink.
Well, before you fire everyone and go out of business, try switching the music in your workplace to Sirius. Come on, you're already in love with the music in your car and home. Bring the Sirius business plan to work. At $24.95 a month, it's cheaper than Muzak and a lot more fun. Log on to Sirius.com and click through business subscriptions or give us a call at 888-539-SIRIUS.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. You have to choose between often the reality of the rent that's due on the first of the month and your desire to ignore that and go for the brass ring.
There is a reality that happens, and if you have to make the rent due at the end of the month, it is pretty darn difficult to change your careers dramatically. And those that have done it tend to have saved up some money and given themselves a little breathing space. There was some research done in New York that said that the average length of time out of work had gone from 13 weeks to 18 weeks over the last 4 years. So if you want to make a significant change, you certainly have to count on, 4 or 5 months. To change jobs.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
Got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Hey, you guys. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Hey.
I'm having a good time today. I feel pretty good.
I'm having a good time. You want to light into something?
You know what time it is? It's 18 past the hour. How's that grab you?
That's very good. You want to light into these Swift folk people again?
Yeah.
But before we do that,
yeah.
I know Jonathan Larson is not... Oh, yeah.
What?
Before we do anything else,
yeah.
You have something to do.
I do?
From Hamon.
Oh, that's right. I had it right in front of me because I did it earlier.
Hamon stole
and,
it.
You know, and now, you know, I have it again. Here it is. I got it. The Palm Pilot, the presidential daily schedule from Ramon, who is now in the cargo section of Air Force One. Here's the president's schedule for today. 8 o'clock, wake up, take off cowboy hat, put on I like people, I'm a moderate hat. 9:05 a.m., attend rally, New Mexico State University, Las Cruces, New Mexico. Note, promise to make it easier for everyone to immigrate from New Mexico into the United States. 12:30 p.m., speak of rally, Farmington, New Mexico. Check with staff to make sure this place is actually on the map. It is. I grew up in the state. 2:50 p.m., speak at Albuquerque, New Mexico, home of known agitator Mark Maron. Have FBI call his father in for questioning. And my dad will get a kick out of that. 4:10 p.m. before leaving New Mexico, ask campaign manager to show me where they filmed the Roadrunner cartoons. 9:55 p.m. arrive back in Washington. Wrap up Project Swiftboat. Initiate Project John Edwards, South Beach Rent Boy. 10:30 p.m. idea for convention. Call Lynyrd Skynyrd about their performance to court the swing states. Ask if they could change Sweet Home Alabama to Sweet Home Ohio. 11 p.m., bedtime, think happy thoughts. Headline, quote, it's all true. Kerry never went to Vietnam, spent war in Martha's Vineyard, end quote. There you go.
He can only wish.
There you go. Well, things are going down. We got, Kerry's got a response ad out there that features John McCain in the ad. We're going to take a listen to that now. Can we hear that, Tim?
I'm John Kerry, and I approve this message.
Let me tell you what really went over the line. Governor Bush had an event, and he paid for it. And stood next to a spokesman for a fringe veterans group. That fringe veteran said that John McCain had abandoned the veterans. Now, I don't know how if you can understand this, George, but that really hurts.
Yeah.
That really hurts. And so, five United States senators, Vietnam veterans, heroes, some of them really incredible heroes, wrote George a letter and said, apologize.
Yeah.
You should be ashamed.
Now on screen it says, 4 years ago it was John McCain. This year they're smearing John Kerry. George Bush, denounce the smear. Get back to the issues. Sound familiar, Mark Maron?
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, this Swiftboat campaign, they're all turning out to be full of crap and disrespectful on top of it. You know what I mean? It's like O'Neill said he wasn't in Cambodia. You know, said he was in Cambodia. What he said he was
no,
in Cambodia.
Originally he said in 71 he was in Cambodia. Now he hit at John McCain saying nobody was in Cambodia, which of course was the government line. I'm sorry, he hit at Kerry and said that nobody was in Cambodia. That was the government line. Now, we should let you know that in that spot, you were hearing a debate between Senator McCain when he was running for president and George W. Bush, and you kept hearing George W. Bush weakly trying to say, yes, 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 and, of course, Kerry really kind of body slammed.
He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. He's incapable of empathy, this president. This is a president who doesn't go to military funerals, all right? Doesn't have any respect for veterans because of the way he treats them when they come back. You know,
Cuts
their money. Never really served himself. Okay, Air National Guard, and he was AWOL for 4 months. But he's surrounded by people who haven't served. The guy who designed this war, Paul Wolfowitz, never served. All right? Dick Cheney, deferred. Is that four?
But I thought it was five.
In between the third and fourth one. You're pregnant? Deferred. All right. You see? And who else?
There's a litany. Denny Hastert
didn't serve. John Ashcroft. Didn't serve. Paul Wolfowitz, as I said, didn't serve. Trent Lott, nope. Tom DeLay, uh-uh. Rudolph Giuliani, nope. Imagine that. Sam Brownback, one of the great fanatical butt kissers. All right?
Yes.
This is a politician from Kansas, a senator from Kansas, who, like, you know, completely catered his message to the religious fanatics in his state in order to get a Senate seat. Here we go. What about, this is the guy I hate, Santorum.
Ah, yes.
Turned 18 after the draft ended. No excuse!
That's right. He could have volunteered.
But the truth of the matter is there's defections. We've got retired Air Force Colonel Ken Cordier. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Yes.
Cordier.
Cordier.
Who appeared in the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth ad, was a advisor for Bush, had to quit.
Quit.
Quit. Resign.
And now we've got Ginsburg.
That's another point. Obviously, they must be afraid of something. I mean, how often do people resign in this administration?
Well,
hardly
this is...
ever. You got to really be guilty in this administration to resign. I don't even know it.
This is Benjamin Ginsburg, yeah.
You've got to admit to yourself that you're a political liability. So clearly, you know, Bush knew about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. This is one of President Bush's top legal advisors. He resigned after he disclosed he had given legal advice to the Swift Boat Veterans. He also, and this is important for people to know, he also represented Bush in the 2000 Florida recount. You remember that one, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
And you remember the result of that one.
Yes.
He says, quote, "I have decided to resign as national counsel to your campaign to ensure that the giving of legal advice to decorated military veterans, which was entirely within the boundaries of the law, doesn't distract from the real issues upon which you and the country should be focusing." Now, what Ginsburg very conveniently ignored here is not the legality of what he was doing. Nobody questions that, you know, giving legal advice to a group of veterans is legal. Bush said there were no ties between the White House and the Swift Boat Veterans. That's the issue.
I count two. I count two, apparently, that are looking for work right now. But maybe not now that this retired military guy's got a career in television. Maybe he'll do some more advertisements. But what's even more telling, Max Cleland goes out to Crawford to make a stand at the gate for his buddy John Kerry. He goes out to Crawford, number one. They wouldn't let him in. You know, the guy was like there to deliver basically a petition saying we want George Bush to apologize for this.
And to renounce those ads, to condemn those ads. We've got the former Senator Max Cleland as he was there in front of the barricades in Crawford. Because, you know, everybody has such thick security. And you can imagine, this is a guy in a wheelchair trying to deliver a letter. And Max Cleland explains why.
This president can put an end to this kind of politics in this country, and we can go on with the business of dealing with the real questions of surrounding Iraq, surrounding our challenge abroad, where the president has created more enemies abroad than friends and lost more jobs here than he's created.
Huh.
And then they sent out their guy. They sent out some, I don't have the piece.
Patterson is his last name.
Yeah, Patterson. Their military representative to give Max Cleland a letter with some other signatures on it, people supporting the act.
That's Jerry Patterson, yeah. And Jerry Patterson, by the way, was on the payroll of one Bob Perry. You remember him?
Bob Perry, he's a guy that, he
funded the Swift Boat guys.
Originally.
He's a home builder.
Right, a developer in Texas. Friend of Karl Rove. I don't know, let's hear from Karl Rove.
Yeah, how close are you to Bob Perry, old Carl?
The last time I saw Bob was literally to say, hello, you're looking great.
Liar.
How are you doing? Hope to see you again soon. But
evil,
I mean,
bastard.
He's a good friend of mine. I don't want to leave any misimpression, but he's not somebody that I've had any extended conversations with in years, and certainly have not discussed with him or anybody else in the Swift Boat leadership.
Wow, sound like he got
what they're doing.
That was a beeper. That was Bob on his beeper.
Yeah, he got all tongue-tied when he started lying. Jeremy, it's unusual for him to
ready to do a Ken Lay on Bob Perry. You know, Bob who? Who? I don't remember him now.
Well, can't. You know what's weird to me, though? You know, after all of this is going on, and Kerry is still maintaining, you know, dignity and not, you know, going down into the gutter. And I'm happy to get in the gutter for him occasionally. I don't mind.
Me too.
I don't mind doing that for John Kerry. I wish he'd come by.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know maybe that's asking too much.
No,
you know,
it isn't.
Apparently, I'm not John Stewart. But we don't even want to get into that.
You're not Martha Stewart either, so what?
That's right. You should come by, you know, maybe talk to us, maybe call us on the phone. But that's not what this is about. What this is about is the amazing thing is John Kerry knows these guys, and these guys know John Kerry. John Kerry has been on their butts for years. John Kerry was the first guy to begin the ball rolling on the Iran-Contra hearings. John Kerry was a guy that investigated BCCI, which was a bank that not only funded and helped George Bush build some failed businesses, but it helped, you know, move money around for Saddam Hussein, for the Saudi. I mean, this was a very dirty bank before it crumbled. So he literally knows a tremendous amount of dark secrets about all of these guys, about George Bush, about Dick Cheney. And it's just interesting to me that he's choosing, you know, not to bring that stuff up for reasons that I'm not sure about. But I think one of the reasons is the general populace, if it's not packageable in information that takes under a minute, they can't quite get it. If it requires a second viewing or requires, you know, multi levels of understanding, it's like, I don't know. Are we eating? You know, I mean, it's.
But you know what it is, Delon? You don't bring a Louisville slugger to the game until it's time to hit.
That's what you've been saying.
You know, and the time is coming. The time is coming soon. Mm-hmm. We're counting it down. We're getting very close to the convention, and right after that's Labor Day, and you know what that means.
What, I come back from Seattle?
Yeah, and things get serious. They get real serious
after
Labor
Day. Is that
going
to happen? So if it's going to be dirty, we're going to even see more, you're saying?
We're going to see John Kerry do his best Muhammad Ali impression. Yeah. He's been rope-a-doping George Bush up until now, and this will be the later rounds when he starts pummeling him to the face, figuratively, you understand.
We got funny coming up.
Still to come, cartoonist Ted Raw, Recovery Corner, The Liberal Agenda, and more here on Air America Radio.
Maybe. Here we go.
Election day.
Yeah, how are you? We're
During
back.
The next 5 seconds, think about this. How do newborns learn?
Come on, smile for daddy. Come on, clap your hands.
That's right, with their parents, mom and dad. Affection and games are important to nurture a baby's self-esteem. But did you know that his developing brain needs
this
even
is
more?
America Radio
now,
News. I'm Mark
if we could
Shearer.
Hear this baby's brain
mission
work,
has
it might sound like
Najaf,
this.
Najaf, Iraq, led by Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani, who is leading a procession of thousands of Iraqis. The march is intended to halt violence in the city, where militant supporters of cleric Muqtada al-Sadr have fought U.S. and Iraqi forces for weeks. Torture is the word used by one of the U.S. Army generals in the second of two reports this week on the prisoner abuse scandal at Abu Ghraib prison. Senator John Kerry is calling for the resignation of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld because of that report. President Bush campaigns in New Mexico today, and the U.S. Olympic Committee is calling on President Bush's campaign to pull those television ads that credit the president for the presence of athletes from Afghanistan and Iraq at the Olympics in Athens. You're listening to Air America Radio News, and I'm Mark Shearer.
Hey, we're back. We're having a few technical difficulties here. I'm not sure what happened. We have some genius software that will soon be gone, from what I understand, Mark Riley. I'm
very gone.
This is Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. We've got guests coming in soon. But what were we just talking about, Mark? We're just talking about the big finish. That Kerry is supposedly a big finisher.
He is a closer.
And you have complete confidence in that.
I have confidence in the fact that this guy will, in fact, win this election going away, because I think he's actually going to surprise, just like he surprised people during the course of the primaries. You remember back in Iowa and some of these other primaries where people jumped up and said all of a sudden, whoa, wait, John Kerry? Wait a minute. We had him written off months ago.
Yeah.
Well, he got the nomination, didn't he?
And then the convention, bam!
And he's going to win the presidency the same way for the same reasons. Because George W. Bush has got nothing, as you like to say. He's got no record. He's got no economy.
Yeah.
He's made war, not love.
Yeah.
He has done everything wrong since he became president of the United States.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, he needs to go. And this is not, by the way, a passionate, evil statement on my part. You know, my own personal
Olympic beach volleyball champ and Sirius own Kerry Walsh has been calling in from the Olympics.
I'm Kerry Walsh from Sirius 28 Faction. Hope you guys are doing wonderfully at home. Athens is treating us well.
Giving us updates along the way.
We have four more matches to win, beginning with the single elimination round against China.
In search of Olympic glory.
We're on the road to the gold. Keep your fingers crossed.
Well, we kept them crossed, Kerry, and to you and the rest of the team, congratulations on Olympic gold from everyone here in your Sirius family.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Should you use escrow to pay your tax and homeowner's insurance bills? I'll answer Paige's question after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should you use escrow for insurance and taxes?
Are there any benefits to paying our taxes and insurance independently instead of including those in our payments?
There are two benefits. One benefit is you can actually earn a little interest on the money while it's parked somewhere, and it is a little interest because you're parking it at a savings account, which isn't earning anything currently. The second benefit is you are actually going to only pay the amount needed to cover the insurance. With an escrow account, sometimes they screw it up, like most of the time. They mess up their accounting, and so they like to keep an extra pad in there of several hundred dollars. They're padding against the possibility that, you know, your insurance or your taxes may go up, which are reasonable possibilities. For that reason alone, I would do away with my escrow account. The downside, however, is you have to become very disciplined because you're going to get a big bill twice a year called a tax bill and an insurance bill.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Mid-80s, when under Reagan, Dune Sperry was criticizing Reagan, and nervous editorial page editors moved him off the comics page because they thought that politics didn't belong
in kids' heads.
In kids' heads, exactly. So, and we still live that life in the newspapers.
Yeah, I'm sure we do. How much resistance do you get? Have they ever shut you down?
Yeah, NewYorkTimes.com dropped me as a result of right-wing bloggers running a concerted campaign to get rid of me. MSNBC.com.
On what grounds? What grounds?
They actually claimed they didn't have anybody assigned to handle the hate mail. It wasn't editorial. They just said, you know, we can't handle it.
They can't handle our blog?
New York Times Digital. They're just like, we don't want to get 500 emails in a day. We only have two or three staffers here. So.
That was their priority? Is that it wasn't a matter of content? It was just like, you're clogging up our email.
Yeah, it was cowardice meets sloth.
But wait. I got to stop you there. Ordinarily, in this society, in this day and age, somebody gets X number of hits a day on that, no matter if they hated your guts. Somebody try and sell them something. What's wrong with these people?
You got me. I was appalled, and I raised a lot of hell about it at the time. As a cartoonist who does political stuff, you get canceled sometimes by editors, and, you know, that's the way it goes. But I just thought this was absolutely absurd, because they admitted it. You know, they said, like, look, we just can't handle the hate mail.
If
we got no reaction from you,
then you
consider that a big success.
So that's one of those weird moments where you're like, you know, thanks for being honest, you idiots.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, what does that mean, even? So you're not, you'll take shots at everybody, I imagine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This week's column, I'm actually taking John Kerry to task for waffling on his Vietnam record.
Did he waffle?
Well, I think he waffled on like, he comes back from the war, I think rightly, against it.
Yeah.
And now he's using it to try to get elected. And, you know, look, I'm voting for John Kerry, all right? I mean, I hate Bush, but he's got to go. But that said, I think that Vietnam was a shameful episode in American history, and it's not. And there's been a lot of revisionism.
I don't think he's reneged on that, though. He's using his service to get elected, but he's also owning his anti-war posture. We played the entire speech that he made to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee the other day. It's pretty profound. Have you heard it?
No, I haven't heard it.
It's really, you know, you hear this young Kerry, he's full of passion and kind of like focus, and it was really authentic. It was kind of moving.
Oh, the 71 speech before the foreign relations.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Are you for Kerry?
Oh, I'm voting for Kerry. I was a Howard Dean man during the primaries, but I'm an anybody but Bush man.
Yeah, I hear you. Do you like that? What Dean's been doing lately? He's sort of like they're out there in the trenches, like taking the pop
he's
shot.
The pit bull.
Yeah, it's great.
He's our Cheney.
Yeah. Got a little more heart than that.
Oh yeah.
I'm curious. You are a New Yorker.
Yes.
What are the people that you know in this city saying about the fact that the Republicans are here, or did they all leave already?
A lot of them have left, but they all talked before they left.
I'm getting out of here.
You know, the streets really do feel like it feels like a ghost town meets a police state. You know, I've never seen so many cops on subway platforms.
Yeah.
Very young men with very big guns.
Gotta get out into the town, man. I've been just going right from here to Queens. I'm going downtown today. Really, it's that bad out there?
Oh, yeah. It's
crowded. I mean, there is a police. You can tell. I remember being in Philadelphia in the late 70s, early 80s, where there was this oppressive police presence when Rizzo was the mayor. There was like every other block, there were cops all over the place. Well, New York is turning into that little by little now. You see, you know, when I come in at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm seeing all of these police, you know, police lights and stuff, people getting stopped all over the place. The George Washington Bridge on the Harlem River Drive, just, you know, folks look seemingly being stopped for random checks or whatever. I don't know. But there, you can tell when there is a heightened police presence. You can tell when the cops themselves are tense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's those checkpoints all over the place. You know, I drove across the Triborough Bridge 2 days ago, and I got stopped twice. One on the Manhattan side, one on the
Queens side.
I was like, guys, they caught me on the other side. I gave it the office.
Out in Queens, it's just a bunch of people in cafes watching the Olympics.
Don't worry, your time is coming.
Oh, yeah? We're going to be at the convention all next week. Are you going to go by?
Oh, yeah. I'll be around.
Are you?
Although the Republicans turned me down for a press pass.
They did?
First time I've ever been turned down.
Oh, no, so that means they're afraid. They're afraid of everything. Yeah. You know, they barely let people come in to hear the speeches. They don't let the public in. They've been given out loyalty oaths. People have to sign loyalty oaths in order to hear the vice president and president speak.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, they have a reason to be scared. I mean, the fact is that they're coming into the lion's den here. Only 18% of New Yorkers voted for Bush-Cheney in 2000. 18%, yeah. And that includes all five boroughs. That includes conservative areas like Staten Island. Out in the areas of Brooklyn and Queens. I mean, you can only imagine. And they're here in Manhattan, in the heart of it all, I would say the capital of American liberalism. And they're coming in here. You know, the mayor didn't exactly ask any ordinary people whether we wanted them here.
I know. We don't want them here. Absolutely not. It's not their town. Let's take some calls for Ted. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. We'll talk to you after the break here on Air America Radio.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution. Order Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records today at www.airamericaradio.com. The Revolution Starts Now is also available at Barnes & Noble music locations.
The Revolution Starts Now.
Hi, The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Vendi with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Melvin A. Goodman, professor of international security at the National War College.
I don't think there's ever been a greater intelligence scandal than the one we're living through. This is, to me, worse than the intelligence failure at Pearl Harbor, worse than the intelligence failure with regard to not understanding the weakness of the Soviet Union. In some ways, it's worse than 9/11, which was indeed an intelligence failure in which 3,000 people died. But to take this country to war, to manipulate the Congress of the United States, to manipulate the American people, and it's still being done, even though David Kay made it clear that essentially every intelligence assessment of the CIA was wrong. Where I disagree with Mr. Kay is that he believes that George Bush was a victim of this intelligence, which I think really is somewhat naive and nonsensical on David Kay's part. Bush wasn't the victim of this intelligence. He was the one who manipulated this intelligence.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet. Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far. So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes. That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed. Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. Uh-uh. Uh-huh. big deal. My dad eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite. Get out. Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way!
Uh-huh, I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Attention shoppers, if anyone is missing a rather plump set of love handles, please come to the customer service counter and claim them. The apple love handles were lost in the produce department where their former owner had purchased fruits and veggies to munch on during the big game. Thank you and have a good day.
Small step number 81, snack on fruits and veggies. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Drinking again, and I know you're full of shame, my friend. And the secret drinking is the worst. I can just see you going to the bathroom in Air Force One and down in a couple of those little travel bottles of scotch. You pop an Altoid and stumble back to your seat. Blame it on turbulence. I know the routine. Then you've got the headphones on, listening to sad country music, tuning everybody out, drinking and crying. It's sad, man, but I understand, George W. You may think no one will know, but we know. And look, I understand. I've been there. I had so many of those little bottles I could have opened a bar in Munchkinland. So, dude, stop the shame. Get to a meeting. Start over. You can always, you know, day one, all we have is today. Remember, keep the plug in the jug. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Bend your knees before you bend your elbow. If you have one foot in yesterday, the other foot in tomorrow, you're peeing on today. Get to a meeting, my friend. How do you like that? I'm reaching out.
Aw, yeah.
All right, Ted Raw, we got calls for you. Tell us about the book. You're a liberal. How we can take America back from the right. Sum it up for me.
Americans are liberals. They just don't know it. And I try to make that case that the Democratic Party's got to have more self-confidence. They got to understand we are the mainstream of America, and on all the important issues that really matter. Mm-hmm. And that's the way things are trending demographically, and also we got to be meaner and leaner.
So it's the truth you're saying.
Yeah, it's the truth.
Good.
Everybody says that, but in my case, I'm really telling the truth.
There you go.
Ken in San Diego, how are you?
Hey, Ken.
Oh, hey, guys. How are you doing today?
All right.
I had a quick prediction, and I'll ask Ted Rawl a question.
Yeah.
I think Mark Riley is right that John Kerry will take the gloves off after the convention,
mm-hmm.
and John Kerry will become a regular on Air America Radio, giving you, Mark Maron, your wish.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
By the way, I am a veteran.
Yeah.
Ah.
Okay. Ted Rawl, curious. I have not read your book, but I think your topic is great. Do you think it's think tanks for liberals that will help move the agenda forward, like the conservatives use to create what they're doing now, or do you think it's action committees vocalizing? What direction?
Good question, Ken. Thanks for your
excellent
call.
Question.
Yeah, there's a number of people who are looking to start up these liberal think tanks. Some of them, of course, there are liberal think tanks,
and
they've been around, like the Brookings Institute, which has been around for a long time. And obviously, we're still getting our asses kicked in elections across the country. All three branches of government are controlled by the Republicans, and we don't see any. We have a Democratic Party that's really not standing up for Democratic values.
And the cultural dialogue, because of these think tanks that were put in place 30 years ago, there's still a fight to be had just for the language of America.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so unfortunately, I think that this, there's just so many things that need to be done that there's no simple fix. I mean, Air America is an example of something that needs to happen, but there needs to be, it needs to be bigger. There needs to be a media revolution. There needs to be, from an individual grassroots organizing level, liberal activists have to start taking the gloves off, have to start getting meaner, and even using dirty attack ads. I think, the Republicans always start these fights. They always go into the gutter. And I have an entire chapter 8 of the book is called The Case for Dirty Politics. And it doesn't advocate going as far as, say, Richard Nixon did,
and also
almost as far.
There's also a certain amount of selflessness that has to occur on behalf of the liberals and behalf of the Democrats in a certain way. A lot of this, building from the grassroots level with the Republicans and with these ultra-right and the conservatives that are not necessarily these people that are willing to surrender the idea of the economy to moral values, yes, is that a lot of those people were put out of work because of Republican policy, so they had a lot of free time on their hands, and they dedicated their lives to the only thing that they could dedicate it to, which was their belief systems, and now they're trying to impose that on the rest of the country by, you know, putting their people into office where they can.
And this has been going on for decades.
Right.
I mean, this really started after the Republican debacles after Watergate.
Right.
They were in the wilderness in the late 70s, and they just laid the groundwork for what we're just seeing now. So, frighteningly, if we get started now, we may only start to see the results in 20 years.
But
so we better get started.
I got other things to do, you know. I have my career to worry about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got
not you, not you.
Oh, okay. That's how people think, though. We're selfish people. I think that a lot of people, because, like, meanwhile, the conservatives were, you know, building these grassroots coalition around religious values and also changing the language of culture. And in the meantime, we all became sort of selfish. The sort of extension of the culture of narcissism, you know, kind of created all these, you know, kind of people who are like, I just got to do what I got to do. I'm trying to help all I can, but, you know, I've got a career to worry about.
No, but you know, one of the things that Ted hit on.
Yeah.
And I've emphasized this for a long, long time. You cannot win a basketball game showing up with shoulder pads. All right? It's a different game.
What about if you show up with a shovel full of marbles?
Shovel full of marbles is a different story. It depends on the colors you see.
Yeah.
But when it comes to politics and the way the Democrats play politics, oftentimes they come to a basketball court with shoulder pads on. And the Republicans got a basketball.
Right.
And you can't elevate. You got no vertical with the shoulder pads on. The bottom line is we have to learn how to play the game to win.
Right.
This is not, you know, about ideological purity. Let me tell you something. The conservatives in this country have come to understand that they can win in increments. Okay?
Uh-huh.
The partial birth abortion ban, the attempts to do that is a classic example. Now, and the other thing is that conservatives don't usually have as many litmus tests for their situation, their relationship with the Republicans, as Democrats do with many of the more progressive people on the Democratic wing. In many cases, we made that compromise with Bill Clinton, and a lot of people didn't like it, but Clinton got elected. The bottom line is the Republicans know going in. That's why they got Rudy Giuliani and Arnold and them to be all moderate-faced in the convention, but what does their platform say? Something very different.
Right. Is that true, Ted?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. You've got think about it, since 9/11, how frustrating it's been, in particular, to watch the USA Patriot Act roll through in the middle of the night. The two wars, both of which were equally illegal and equally wrong in Afghanistan and Iraq, and every time, who's going to stand up and say the president is a liar? Right? I mean, and that's so simple, and it's just so true. And all across America, tens of millions of Democrats were screaming at their televisions, and they're looking for someone to stand up for them. You know, Bush appeals to Americans by trying to say that he's going to stand up and defend America against our enemies, right? Well, my enemy is actually George W. Bush, and I want someone to stand up for me against him.
Someone's got to tap into the repressed liberal anger, like he taps into the repressed sort of, like, you know, moral, narrow-minded, not moralizing, narrow-minded anger. We'll be back in a second with more of Ted Rawl and your calls on Air America Radio.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution. Order Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records today at www.airamericaradio.com. The Revolution Starts Now is also available at Barnes & Noble music locations.
The Revolution Starts Now.
Canada, Czech Republic, Finland, Germany, Slovakia, Sweden, Russia, and the USA. The greatest hot
hockey nations in the world are facing off for the 2004 World Cup of Hockey. Be a part of the passion and rivalry for bragging rights to number one and world hockey champion. Tune in August 31st at 7 p.m. Eastern when Team USA takes on Team Canada on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Our young people need us now more than ever.
Everyone's popping pills and smoking grass.
Sure, they look up to our superstars, but what they really want is the time and energy of caring adults who make a difference in their lives. A personal hero. You can be that hero. Get involved and help keep our young people drug-free. Your time is their future.
He's not on drugs. He's just weird.
To learn more, call 1-800-729-6686. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found the need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
I can see the runway. Mark Maron here on Air America Radio with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Morning Sedition. Ted Rall is our guest. His book is Wake Up, You're Liberal, and also the book Generalissimo, El Busho, Essays and Cartoons on the Bushies, both available on airamericaradio.com at a 10% discount. At least it is 54 past the hour. We're taking some calls. We got Clark. How are you, Clark, in Long Island?
Hey, Clark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
How
you doing?
What's up?
I will be happy to say that the president is a traitor, liar, a cheat, whatever else you want to say. But the problem is he's too actually stupid to understand it, and therefore that's the problem. But the other problem is the addictive personality you claimed about before with the alcohol,
yeah,
which is true.
Yeah.
And the problem with the other groupies that are around him is that we've now given these addictive personalities the most addictive substance on the face of the earth, which is power.
Power.
And we're not going to be able to wrench this thing away from them without massive. Underpinnings being ripped out.
Right. So you're saying a call to arms. That's what Ted's saying. A little aggressiveness.
Yeah. Even getting rid of George Bush this fall, which, God hope, I hope, you know, obviously we all hope that's going to happen, isn't enough.
Right.
You know, getting John Kerry in there, he's still going to probably be facing a Republican Congress,
yeah,
and certainly a Republican Supreme Court, and then all the state legislatures, and, you know, from the...
It's going to take a while.
The whole infrastructure is rotten with conservatives to the core.
Yeah, yeah, and they're just eating away at it, and eventually the whole structure will crumble.
Let me tell you something else. The federal judiciary, people never pay any attention to it until it's too late.
Right.
George W. Bush has been trying to stock him with conservatives all over this country. The Fifth Circuit, the Ninth Circuit, which is the circuit in San Francisco? Whichever circuit it is, it's the Ninth. The Ninth, he wants to get rid of all of those guys in the Ninth, and if he has a second term, he'll try and do it.
Omar, quickly. Omar, Westchester.
What's up? What's up, baby?
How you doing, man?
All right.
real quick, what I wanted to say is, it's still a little bit too early to give Kerry that title, the closer, because he hasn't been in a closing situation.
Yeah.
We can only hope and pray that he does.
Wait, hey, Omar.
Yeah.
He closed on the nomination, didn't he?
Yeah, he won the nomination, but he hasn't been in a closing situation against George W. Bush.
Well, you're right about that, but you remember Bob Gibson, Omar?
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone. See, I think Kerry is a white guy, Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
Right? Bob Gibson was the most fearsome pitcher in baseball during his time. You did not stand in the too close to the plate with Bob Gibson, or he'd throw something right under your chin.
Yeah. Ted, what do you think?
Kerry's got what it takes, you know, and he hates Bush. You can tell it's visceral. And I think
it's going on a long time.
Yeah, he knows how he hates Bush. And he hates the kind of guy that Bush is, and it's going to make. He can do it if he, you know, if he's got the heart. He just got to make it happen.
There you go.
Absolutely. Oh, there's the fax machine. Of course, that's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today. So write them down. One, during the convention, change name to Statue of Endangered Liberties. Two, Photoshop Laura Bush into huge Sean John billboard in Times Square. That's going to take some time. Three, organize dancers to raise lap dance prices for Halliburton executives. Four, limit Bush bashing jokes to 5 minutes a day. You don't want laughter to become a habit. Five, phrase of the day, just drop it into any conversation on any subject. Quote, my guru told me that Bush will drop dead during his acceptance speech, purely due to bad karma. So just relax, okay? End quote. Ted Rolfe, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Ted. Guys. Appreciate it.
And Mark Riley, it's nice to see you
as always.
It's
good to see you as always, Maron. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, a gun-toting, middle-class, white male who not only is voting for John Kerry, he wrote a book called Bush Unplugged. Mark, you Millie on tomorrow's morning's edition only here on Air America Radio. Have a good one.
You too, man.